following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
What's poppin'? It's the Drew and Mike Show for Friday, and the weekend best of, by the way, will be brought to you by Mr. Scott Kunath, ladies and gentlemen. Scott is a rising star of a fine real estate company known as Coldwell Banker Weir Emanuel. To see what your home is worth or help in finding your new home, or if you want to refer somebody to Scott, talk to him in drops, by the way, you can text him in drops, 248-797-7746, or email Scott Kunath at skunath@cbwm. Hopefully we'll get Scott some springtime business. Everybody's buying, and a lot of people buying and selling in the spring, so Scott's a good guy.
Don't you love when you go to work and your prep is listening to Hot for Teacher by Van Halen? That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, they're trying to find Waldo from the video for no reason.
No, why Hot for Teacher?
Why not Hot for Teacher? How did we get? Oh, because we were trying to find David Lee Roth, the witness to the Rodman slap, which just let us down, you know, an appreciation of David Lee Roth's videos.
And there's a lot of David Lee Roths, apparently.
There's a ton of them.
No, wait, Rodman slapped somebody, but David Lee Roth was the witness.
Yes.
Okay, not David Lee Roth.
Not the David Lee Roth. Right. No.
That is
unfortunately.
Weird. I would think being named David Lee Roth would be a real pain in the ass.
I think it'd be cool.
It'd be cool for about 5 minutes.
Awesome.
What if they were older David Lee Roths, and then all of a sudden they didn't understand why they were getting so much attention? Like, people calling me.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them we can call if you want.
I'm just reading.
There's 238 in Florida.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. I'm just reading a text message from Matt Riley, who said, "If I recover from my Larry Fortensky moment today, I was sitting at a table in Starbucks."
Oh, really?
I was getting up to leave. And, yep, there you go. And I was telling Matt afterwards, I'm like, I swear to God, it felt like my foot was caught or something. I just don't feel like it was that bad. And I did. I actually tumbled into this lady who screamed. She was sitting down. I didn't knock her over or anything, but she screamed.
Did she think she was shot?
Maybe. I don't know. But then she
wait. And
she
you
was
tumbled.
Fine.
What about the lady though? In what way did you tumble into her? Like, did you fall into her lap or?
No, she was sitting on a like
sounds
a
like
circular,
a Me Too situation,
like a circular chair with no back. And I think I just hit the chair and just startled the hell out of her.
Oh,
she probably thought she was under attack.
Oh, you think the homeless people are a problem there?
Anyway, I was trying to figure out why did I feel like I couldn't move because I couldn't correct my foot and the tables are nailed to the ground there.
Yeah.
So the front of my foot was stuck and I think you just naturally think the table is going to move. It didn't. And I just kept going and went down.
Was it leg day? Maybe because it was leg day.
Jeez. Yeah, that's true. I probably wore out my legs. I did spend 40 minutes on the bike.
Oh.
So.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thursdays are legs. So that's a possibility.
Well, we all got a group text from Matt today.
Oh, I
did you know that?
No, I did not know that. I just saw his text about my Larry Fortensky moment. Did I?
Great podcast content. That's how it starts. Asked her about the unbelievable foul he took at the Royal Oak Starbucks about 30 minutes ago. Total face plant into a female customer sitting on a stool across the aisle. She literally screamed and then said, "I thought someone shot me."
I remember her saying that. I heard a scream.
Then he says, "The tables are bolted to the floor." He stood up and was going to the aisle, and his right foot was caught between the immovable table leg and the leg of his chair. He went down flat like a tree in the forest to his right, falling across the aisle and into the back of the woman sitting across the aisle. It was incredible. He only spilled some of his coffee.
I know. Very little coffee was spilled. It was amazing. But I think I left my orange juice behind. I was so shattered by the whole thing.
And then somebody wanted to know if the woman was hot.
No, she
was not.
For her age, she may have been kind of hot.
Is he hot?
By the way, there was a much older, this is funny because Matt mentioned this and I hadn't noticed it. There was an older black woman, probably 45, heavyset wearing a Harry Styles t-shirt, which I
Really?
Like, wow, that, I wouldn't expect her to wear that t-shirt, but it made her appear younger.
He's handsome to a lot of people.
Chicks dig him. I'm not knocking her.
Someone's reporting that she did say that if it was her and she'd been tripped up by the Starbucks table, she would have sued him.
Well, I should think about legal action. I was so stunned by the whole thing. I literally sat there for like 2 minutes just kind of like trying to figure out what the hell happened here. And then when I got
up,
I was hoping for some applause, you know, like when people are injured and they get up and there's no applause at all.
She just stood up and went, ta-da.
Not even the homeless guy sitting in the nice chairs. The nice chair, forget about the nice chairs at Starbucks. They're always occupied with homeless people.
Yeah, but you have a home to go to, so there's that.
But what? I'm a customer at Starbucks. I'm spending money there.
Oh, okay.
I don't think this dude is.
Well, was everybody staring at you when you got up?
There weren't that many people in the store. I don't think I was keeping track of that. I think it was pretty.
How embarrassing!
Pretty excited to get out of there. Surprised I wasn't hurt.
I was wondering if the show was going to be canceled. That
we were all worried about.
Secretly wanted it to be.
Very, very worried.
Well, the incident was not far from Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, just around the corner on Main Street between 3rd and 4th. They have the largest and best patios in the city with both outdoor and indoor seating. Mesa's top spot to kick back on these warm summer days. It's getting nice out there. Pretty nice today. Mexican fusion delicacies, handcrafted cocktails, fresh-squeezed margaritas while basking in the warm sunshine. 35-foot screen, 150 tequilas, 10% off. Mention Drew.
Their zesty Mexican margaritas and bean burritos will have you heading south of the border. Adios, everyone.
Speaking of Drew and Mike, somebody sent something today that I think we should, I guess we're going to play it on the best of.
Mm-hmm.
We got two best of, so that's a little less pressure on the best of material. It's we're calling this lady.
Came back to me when I listened to it.
It came back to me when I listened to it too, and it was, I remember how amused I was at the time. This Bieber had tweeted out like, "Hey, ladies, call me," and he put out a phone number.
Yeah,
it was a goof.
Oh.
On his Twitter. So, of course,
it was Justice Bieber.
It turns out it's actually someone's phone number.
Oh,
and this grandmother gets a bazillion calls.
Still.
Well, at the time she did. I mean, the phone just rang nonstop.
Oh, my God.
So we called her, and we're having this conversation about it, and she ends up saying that, I talked to a radio station that linked me up with Justin Bieber, and he's going to give me two autographs for my granddaughters and, you know, some tickets to a concert, and... And I'm thinking, no, that was not Justin Bieber. That was... She got stung again.
Oh.
So what do you know? Justin Bieber popped up on our show. Justin Bieber just called in. We were able to hook him up. It was kind of a freaky thing. And I know you... I don't know who was doing it. It was one of you guys was playing Bieber Drops.
Yeah, that was
it
a soundboard.
It seemed like
yeah.
some scurrying. I could just hear the scurrying to get the drops in the board because it was like, yeah, and no, I don't think so. And
there's one particular drop. I don't want to say what it was because it kept coming up, and every time it came up, it killed me.
I think
about
I know
girls.
Which one.
It was really funny.
I know, it was funny. And she ended up, Bieber, the drops did not portray Justin Bieber very favorably.
No?
Yes, and I'm not sure if she's still waiting for her tickets and all that stuff. That's unfortunate.
She's probably dead.
We didn't make any promises.
I'm just saying. It's been a while.
But
sorry.
I thought that was really funny.
Not sorry.
It's going to be on either Saturday or the Monday show since we got a holiday weekend coming.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for it.
Brandy, you want to call the there was a Social Security number that's been frozen. That was called in today around 2 o'clock, so maybe that one's good.
Yeah, we can try these, but we have to be quick because we do have a phone call, incoming phone call in just a couple minutes.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I see the clock. It's Jim's. Jim was the guy?
I have several. I'm not sure exactly.
858 number. There were two 858 numbers.
Okay.
That's the new one that came in. So this number could be, we could get a Social Security number unfrozen if we score for Jim. He is literally going to be unable to do...
Oh,
damn it.
Way to go, Jim.
You want to try the other one real fast?
Yeah.
Hello?
What is he going to be unable to do?
Apparently, the Social Security Administration is calling people, or they're emailing them and telling them that their Social Security number is frozen because of some terrible misbehavior.
So it freezes his checks and stuff?
Freezes everything. So he's got a call to get it unfrozen. I'm sure there's some excessive payment that needs to be made in Visa cards. Troy McMaster's complaining, why is Facebook Live always cut off after 10 minutes? Well, it didn't yesterday. So it doesn't always.
So enjoy the extra minutes you got,
so
Troy.
Why don't you listen to the podcast?
Yeah, you're supposed to download the show.
Lots of caffeine. Yes, Kathleen DeBears. Lots of caffeine.
How about this live version, huh, Brandon?
This is a great version.
You always complain it's never the live version. So
it's Madeline's favorite song right here.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? She likes ELO?
She likes this tune.
Does she listen to Wheels?
Okay, so much
thank
for...
Thank you for calling.
Oh, hello, sir? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I received information that there were some problems with my Social Security number, that it might be frozen.
Okay.
Possible arrest.
So when did you receive? When did you receive that?
I received it yesterday, and I tried to call.
Okay, all right. So hold on for a moment, okay? Let me check, okay?
Okay. Is this Social Security Administration?
Yeah, you have reached Social Security Administration.
Thank you very much.
Okay, hold on for a moment, okay? Let me check.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Sounds like
there's a lot of people working there, so the noise doesn't surprise me. They have like 50 people in a room that's 10 by 10 at the Social Security Administration. It's very strange. You would think it'd be pretty laid back.
Terrible phone lines, too.
Yeah. Oh, you know, government.
True.
Oh, Kathleen says my legs gave way. They did not give
ooh,
way.
Ouch.
The table was bolted.
You mean they didn't give away like the Russian weightlifter video? Have you seen that one?
No.
Brandon wouldn't watch it. I don't know why.
I don't like watching people's femurs snap
in half. So I made him listen to it.
It was loud.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, really?
Why is Russian? You don't know him.
Why did they leave you on hold for... I mean, come on.
Because they...
It's a scam in the first place.
Amanda on Facebook thinks we've finally gotten through to a real Social Security officer.
It does sound official.
Sounds official.
Hello?
Yes, hello, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. I'm concerned. My Social Security number is going to be frozen, apparently, and that's why I'm calling.
Okay. Everything's okay for you, okay? No problem.
Oh, it is okay? Okay, so I can go back to my life and everything's cool?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, everything is okay. Thank you.
There's nothing. Is this the Social Security Administration?
Yeah.
It is. Okay, why were they going to freeze it? What was that? Because I've never had that happen before. I was very concerned.
No, nothing. Seven. It's everything's okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, did you check my file?
Yes.
You did, because I don't think I gave you my name. That's weird.
No. Everything's okay, sir.
Are you positive? Because honestly, this is a serious. This is a real piece of communication from the Social Security Administration. Had the logo and everything.
No. Yeah, everything's okay for you. You can use your own Social Security.
I can keep using it.
Okay.
Double check your
name. Okay, there's
sure.
There's no charge or anything. Are you sure you checked my file? Because I didn't think I gave you my name.
Double check the number.
Yeah. I check everything, okay? Everything's okay, okay, sir?
Okay. That's really weird. Okay.
No, you're free.
Aren't you going to swear on us or anything?
Thank you very much.
Aren't you going to tell us to...
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Aren't you going to tell us to do something?
I know. What's up with the...
Sucker.
The
that must have been... The guy did sound official.
They're really losing it over there, aren't they?
I think that is the Social Security number. I think it's a real person.
They've lost their touch over there, man.
Yeah, I look forward to...
Yeah. Where's the battle?
Dave says they have our number. They have our number on a list. They know it's a prank when we call, and they probably do.
Well, then why didn't he swear at us?
I don't know.
Kind of disappointed in them.
We're going to get fined for that one, by the way.
What do you mean?
I forgot to power up.
Oh, no.
Oh. All financial hotline. I don't know how that... I guess because it was the Social Security Administration, apparently...
Yeah, it gets through.
You can get through.
Yeah.
All financial hotline. Call 248-308-5000 to reach All Financial. Or go to DrewandMike.HallFG.com or click the link on our website. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you fast. See, Amanda says, I told you guys he was legit.
That was really funny.
He was. He was pretty cool. Okay, Fran hasn't called yet, right?
Any minute now.
All right. Well, I should tell you that Gabar and the gang at Zodford and Holly have kicked off their famous Memorial Day celebration. It's been some of the best deals of the year in full effect at Zodford and DealsInTheD.com. Plus, they're commemorating Memorial Day properly. If you are active military, a veteran, a police officer, or a first responder, you save an additional $1,000 to $1,500 off Zodford's ridiculously low advertised price. Lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Supercrew 4x4 as low as $144 a month, or lease a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT as low as $185 a month, or how about a 19 Mustang Coupe at the lowest payment in years, just $236 a month. Don't forget active military, veterans, police, first responders. Save even more. Get details and surf their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Trudy, got some Dr. Roche data for me?
Yeah.
What are they promoting right now?
Well, they're finishing out the month of May with the Mother's Day specials.
Yes.
Which are all fine-tuning in different ways some of your neck creases and redness and...
Gross!
Zerona, which helps to sort of slim and contour people.
Takes inches off your waist.
Inches off your waist. And you know what? And it also is really good with cellulite. It ameliorates the cellulite problem that you have in your legs and your butt, so you could get in a bikini and look hot.
Nice.
All of these different procedures to just immortalize the way that you look for Mother's Day and your wedding, because in June, they're going to have that entire series of things for the mother of the bride and the bride, and you can get Body Tight and Zerona and BBL, Morpheus 8, which is an amazing procedure. They sometimes group procedures together, too, and they'll do Morpheus 8 while you're under during a surgical procedure.
Sweet.
Well,
they
can
do your boobs and do lipo and
yes, and you come out a new person.
Boobs.
Right. Do it all, yeah.
They'll just flip you over and start working on that side.
248-338-1110. To call for a consultation or go to droche.com to look at these procedures and see what they're all about.
Pretty cool. And then over the last few decades, maybe you haven't been paying attention to things like your 401k, those investments you made many, many moons ago. And you should. You should be looking at those. That's what Luke Nowacki would love to do if you feel you have not paid proper attention to your financial future, or maybe haven't started a college fund, or you don't have a plan at all. Luke Nowacki's team would love to help you. 248-663-4748. You can email Luke at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Ryan Alliance Associates Incorporated. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, is separately owned in other entities and or marketing names, products and services referenced here, independent Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Wow. 248-663-4748 for Luke Nowacki. Whoa. Oh, my God, are we rocking now? Because we're going to rock this town.
Yeah.
Fran Belkin's on the blower. Hey, Fran.
Hey, how are you?
Fran, are you ready to rock out?
Do you rock out to this day, Fran?
I'm rocking out as best I can at my age, but I certainly did plenty in years past.
Yeah. It does sound like you guys approached rock and roll with the joy that it deserves. And I thank you, growing up in Ohio, going to many Cleveland shows. That was very cool.
Where did
cool.
you grow up, Judy?
Sandusky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I went, point.
I know. I went to 4 World Series of Rocks. Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys are amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
What was the best bill you went to, Trudy, at the World Series of Rock?
I'd have to say, I think it was, well, Pink Floyd. Does that count as a World Series of Rock, Fran?
It was.
Pink Floyd was definitely one of the most exciting World Series of Rock.
Absolutely. The picture and then the caption underneath of how they flew that 737 at the stadium. I remember that moment like it was yesterday. Yeah. I do, yes. Even though a lot of people probably forgot it or would have had the plane not come at them.
Right. Woke them right up.
Yes. Well, yeah. Yeah, they were tired.
But Fran, not too tired. Fran, I love the story about Rock This Town because you're one of those corners of the rock and roll business. Those of us who rock and roll means so much to, you're in one of those areas that we don't hear about a lot, the promotion business. We hear Belkin Productions. We heard it all the time for years in Detroit and in Cleveland. And here you were making swag for the artists, while your husband was booking these giant bands in these giant places like Municipal Stadium. I mean, I don't think there'd been shows there for a long, long time before the World Series of Rock, had there?
No.
I don't think there had ever been shows there. And when they did book the stadium, I don't think they ever dreamed they would have 89,000 people come. They figured they would probably have like 30,000.
Wow.
And the idea that yeah. those shows were so well-coordinated and there was never any violence or skirmishing or anything like that, it was great.
Well, we had great security guys, I have to say. In fact, I think you saw in the book the picture of our security guards. They were gigantic.
Yeah, they were big dudes.
And they were well-trained.
And they started their own security business. And you guys were involved with some sound people. Was it the Clare Brothers in some of the early shows?
Yeah.
And they were so good, they started a giant sound business. They went off with Yes on tour and then ended up starting their big company.
Yeah, yeah. They're one of the biggest in the world right now.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you were right at the beginning, really, when this whole thing was blowing up. You've got this menswear business, and you're booking some shows to drive business into the menswear. And the next thing you know, you're booking some bigger shows, and then you're booking some bigger shows, and you're booking the Velvet Underground and some real rock and roll. And it just, Fran, it sounds crazy the way this thing grew.
You know, when it was actually happening, I don't think we realized, well, of course we didn't, that we were living through a revolution. And it was actually a cultural revolution, a music revolution. And no, we you only know it when you look back.
Yeah, how can you know it at the time? But, you know, you go from venue to venue. You're doing, you're doing things at Public Hall. You're doing things at the Rubber Bowl. You're doing things at the racetrack. Some of them work great. Some of them work maybe not as well. You're in Municipal Stadium. You're in all these places. And not only that, there are a lot of artists that really broke in Cleveland. And I know you reference David Bowie played that famous show when he first came over, and they sold out a 3,000-seater in Cleveland. And I'm not sure which place that was, but
it was Music Hall.
Music Hall, okay. Then he goes and does other dates. There's empty seats all over the place. And they said, bring him back to Cleveland. We'll fill up, was it Public Hall?
Yeah.
He sells 10,000. How about that? I mean, that's crazy. But there were artists that were very specific to Cleveland, as we have some that did very well in Detroit. So that's pretty cool. And you guys worked with, was it WMMS?
Yes. Yes, WMMS.
The buzzer.
Yeah, one of the...
And Belkin. It was Budweiser, Belkin, and MMS. That's what a lot of our shirts did.
And probably a lot of radio commercials, too, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, what a crazy time it was, and so many stories. By the way, I don't want to embarrass you, but I did, to promote your appearance, I did mention what happened with Miles Davis coming off stage.
Oh, jeez. I had a hard time with that story because I have grandchildren and I didn't want them to read it. But everybody said to me, it's a quote. You're not saying it. You've got to put it in because it was such a great story.
Yeah, and you didn't.
I like the fact that when he walked away, of course, he said nothing and he kept going. And then he sort of laughed like maybe he tries that on everybody.
Maybe.
Exactly. You know what? If you ask enough people, somebody will say yes.
That's true. I didn't detect any regrets on your part, so I guess it was relatively harmless.
No regrets.
And because you guys are booking these giant bands and sometimes they have an extra day, you also are arranging activities like you had a bowling party with Van Halen?
We had lots of bowling parties. The Van Halen bowling party stands out, though, because Alex Van Halen and Michael Anthony, mm-hmm. We're betting $1,000 a game.
Wow.
So pretty soon everybody stopped bowling and just stood around their lane because we were all cheering for them. It was fun. And the Phil Collins bowling party is also in there. I don't know if you remember
that one.
Yes,
it was. Now, I went through the whole book. It's an easy read, but it's a fun read, especially because Cleveland is close by. Yeah, and there are Detroit references. You guys did the first Silverdome show?
Yes. And we were also the exclusive bookers at the Palace. We spent half our life in Detroit. Truthfully, Cleveland and Detroit were our two main cities, and we did almost as many shows in each city. Any band that played Cleveland went right to Detroit, or vice versa.
And that's why, Fran, you're doing an event with Gary Graff at Third Man Records?
That's why we decided to come to Detroit, because really... So many of the memories and experiences that I describe in the book, and so many of the T-shirts, the swag has Cleveland, Detroit embroidered on them because they were like sister cities, and we did almost everything here and there. And so many Detroiters were at those shows and have all those memories. And I wanted to share my book with them because they'll read it and say, oh, I was there. I did that.
One of the shows you did in Detroit, and this was after the World Series of Rock, was a Barbra Streisand show, and you guys got a 100-page writer for one show. Well, what kind of things were in that writer?
He wanted the entire auditorium carpeted.
Oh, my God.
And she wanted a wall built in the dressing room so that if you were sitting in the dressing room, you couldn't see into the bathroom. So that she could walk into the bathroom unseen. So we had to build a wall, and she wanted the whole dressing room carpeted in white carpeting. I mean, it just went on and on and on.
Was she grateful for all the work that you guys did, though? I mean, she sounds like she'd be grateful.
She was totally not grateful. Her manager says to Jules, you know, there was never like a written deal. He said, you know what? You were lucky to have Barbra. Oh. I don't think we're going to pay you anything because you didn't need to sell the show. It was just, and they didn't. And then Jules and his partner had bought her this beautiful piece of art glass, and they tried to give it to her, and she finally looked over at them. They gave it to her, and she put it down, didn't even say thank you.
Oh, what a bitch.
Wow. Wow. Oh, man.
She was a bitch, yes, but I have to tell you this, the show was great.
Contract writers under Rod Stewart couldn't have any American beer, had a very, very specific kind of beer.
No, well, all the English bands would always put in their writer, no American beer.
Which was troublesome for Budweiser. Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac was a little easier. They wanted Blue Nun.
Oh, that was, oh my gosh, Blue Nun. That was the wine of the day, I think.
Yeah. Stevie.
That surprised me. Yeah, and I think it was your son that was hoping to drive Stevie Nicks, and he got stuck with Christine McVie.
No, my son got Stevie Nicks. Oh. It was the runner that was actually getting paid and that had worked hard all week who had to do Christy McVie, and he was plenty pissed.
Oh boy. Yeah, Stevie. Oh, boy.
Well, it pays to be the promoter's son. What can I tell you?
Absolutely. And he's promoting now, too, isn't he?
No, that's my nephew, Michael. My son does something else. My son is an entrepreneur. He has a travel competition that goes all over Europe, like The Amazing Race. But that's for another time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, tell us when that book comes out.
Fran, you booked David Bowie's American debut in 1973. Mm-hmm. What was David Bowie like when he got to America?
You know, I never saw him backstage. I have to say that. Hmm. Backstage had to be cleared out, and I did not get a chance to see him. I will say this, though, that of all the shows I've ever seen, that first show stands out in my memory because the stage was empty. There was just the three of them standing there singing. Huh. It was incredible. Wow. It was like nothing else. No one had ever seen anything like that.
Hey, when Bohemian Rhapsody came out, did you watch that and have a flashback or two?
When what came out?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. You know, Queen was very early on, and Jules didn't really do that with Queen. We never made them swag. And we look back at our records. He had done some, but not really many with Queen.
Yeah.
But the whole scene of the backstage, yes, definitely brought back a lot of memories.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I lived in the 60s and 70s for 2 years just writing this book.
Yeah, they did show in the movie, though. They mentioned a couple Cleveland venues.
Public Hall? I think it was Public Hall that they played, right?
Right.
Friend?
They did. They even said Cleveland. You know, from the stage. You could hear it in the film.
I know. I got off on that.
who were those? It's funny how those little things you see them in movies, like, oh, yeah, my God, I was there. Who were the, you did have some the ability to meet with some people, like you had a picnic with The Who, you were bowling with Van Halen. There were a lot of, you mentioned having a conversation with, I want to say it was one of the Kinks, Ray Davies? But
that wasn't me. That was one of our runners.
Oh, okay.
You know, the thing that was with the fans is that when they first started out, they were friendly. They would sit in the catering tent with you. You know, you can talk to everybody. The minute they became famous, they surrounded themselves with security. And, I mean, Bruce, I remember the first World Series of Rock. I think he was in, or whatever, his first stadium show. He was in the catering tent. He was sitting around. Everybody was there. Next time he came back, he went directly to his restroom. We never saw him again until he went on stage.
Oh, boy.
So it was not easy to really interact a lot with performers, their agents, their managers. Those were our friends. One of the really, who was different, because they, in fact, were coming to Cleveland a day early to go backstage and see Pete and Roger. I want to give them my book because they're in it and they'll probably get a kick out of seeing it. People awesome. Like that we knew, you know, before they were famous.
How cool.
Regarding the Who, whose idea was it to have James Taylor open for the Who? That's quite a lineup.
That's a funny story. Well, it was the agent, because the agent was booking the Who, and of course Jules wanted the Who, and he said, look, I have this new act, James Taylor. We're trying to give him some exposure. You need to put him on the bill. So they stuck him in the middle, and it was the worst possible thing they could have done, because the poor guy got booed off the stage practically.
James Gang opened.
You can't mellow out from Joe Walsh into James
JT,
Taylor.
Into the Who.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then get back up again.
But James just did fine for himself.
Was there a lot of artists who are famous for being not so punctual? Is there anybody that comes to mind when I ask you who the least punctual artist was, or who caused more shows to be late than anyone else? I mean, you mentioned Sam Kinison was not good.
No, that's easy. It was Sly and the Family Stone. They would pull up to the venue and sit in their limo for 2 hours sometimes and wouldn't come out. And in fact, it's a funny story. We on my website, some guy wrote in and he said, I was at Sly and the Family Stone. You know, I read your book and I just want you to know I waited 2 hours at the Kent Auditorium. So my husband says, write him back and tell him if he still has his ticket stub, I'll give him his money back. But Sly was famous for that.
There's a really nice story about, I guess it was your nephew Michael's proposal, and somebody asked the Rolling Stones management to help out, and it was on the Voodoo Lounge tour. You want to just describe what happened?
You know, I was not there. It was in Indianapolis. He took her to Indianapolis for that. But the fact that they were just, you know what, they're so gracious. All the Stones people are nice people. The English fans in general are so great. And he had asked their manager if he wouldn't, the tour manager, if he wouldn't help him with this engagement. And the tour manager grabbed the ring out of his hand and left. And my nephew's standing there with his mouth open. So he did take her down to the Voodoo Lounge. And they're standing there feeling stupid. And all of a sudden, I can't remember, was it
Keith?
Was it Keith Richards?
Keith Richards,
okay,
that's who it is in the book.
Walked up with the ring and said, are you two married? And he said, no. And he said, well, you should be. And he pulls out the diamond ring. So it was quite dramatic.
How witty.
Yeah, Keith is quite a sport. I always love the story I read about the guy who wrote the, and again, these corners of the business are so fun to read about. This guy wrote a fanzine for Rolling Stones fans, and it was so popular, the Stones co-opted him, and they hired him. And so he worked within the organization. Yeah, and he told a story about having a 10-year anniversary party for his magazine, and he invited Ron Wood and Keith Richards, because they were the only ones that probably would go, and he said, oh, boy, I didn't see Ron, I didn't see Keith, I had to run over and get something down the street, and I came back, and I see Keith Richards has his arm around my dad. Keith seems like a really unique, and I mean, the fact that he's still standing is amazing, but just seems like a really good guy. So,
I think he probably is.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was Keith or Mick, because there were pictures of both of them, but now you're right, it was Keith.
Fran, you're going to be at Third Man Records, is it the 29th of May with Gary Graff?
Mm-hmm.
And people can go, I think they can buy swag packs, too.
Ooh, I want swag.
And get the book.
I think they get, some sort of a lanyard or something. I'm not sure exactly. And get the book, and they can sit up close to the stage.
Ooh,
I sent a whole box of swag from the book to Detroit so that people can actually see what the shirts look like. I sent the Bruce Springsteen bag.
How do I get T-shirts?
Yeah, have you thought of, you know, reproducing some of the shirts and selling them?
I have not.
We could put them.
Fran, we can put them
on our website.
I'm going to let you do that. How's that?
All right, I'll draw up the contract.
Yeah, you could.
That book took 2 years of my life. I never left my dining room table.
Wow.
No.
They'll sell. I mean, I would buy all of them. Pink Floyd, I think, because it was most memorable. Hey, I wanted to ask you, though, Were the faces one of the World Series of Rock? Because I looked through and I couldn't find it. And I know it was at that show at Cleveland Stadium. Rod Stewart?
You know what? Let me look because I have the book right here. Yes, Faces definitely was at one.
Okay, so I
but
like,
I can't remember.
God, I went to so many of those.
Faces, yeah, I don't remember them on the World Series of Rock bill, but they were huge then.
Yeah.
Especially with Rod. And then there were, here, take it.
All right, I can tell you. It's August 23rd, 1975.
I was there.
Rod Stewart and Faces, Uriah Heep, Aerosmith, Blue Oyster Cult, and Mahogany Rush.
Oh, my God, that's right. I remember that. Mahogany Rush with Frank. What's that guy's name?
All right, so there you go.
These bills are amazing. The Cars,
really,
Fleetwood Mac, Todd Rundgren, Utopia, Eddie Money, Aerosmith, Ted Nugent, Journey, Thin Lizzy, AC/DC, Wow, AC/DC's the fourth band on there. Incredible.
Well, don't
bills.
Forget, everybody was just starting out. It was all new.
Well, so many great memories, so many great shows, and Fran will be celebrating at Third Man Records Wednesday. Let's see, that's 6 days from now. They've got a VIP package available for $20, includes a copy of the book, exclusive VIP souvenir laminate created just for Third Man Records, reserve seating, VIP gift bag, including items from Faygo and Third Man Records. I want one of those leather carrying cases that Roger Waters was using for decades. I think he'd tape the handle back on.
I want one, too.
Now, you know what I don't have is a number to get. Where do you call to get tickets? Do you call Third Man Records, or what's up with that?
Probably.
I'm not sure. That's the Detroit question.
I've got lots of data, but no phone number. Let's see. We'll figure it out, Fran. We'll let people know. Spencer, May 29th at Third Man. And then...
I want to add that my husband will be with me.
Oh, Jules?
He's the one that really... He booked all these things. He did all these things, and he'll be available if people want to ask questions. And he's going to be part of the interview.
Oh, cool.
Telling his stories, which... people all think, oh, I want to talk to Fran, but really, they all want to talk to Jules because he's got the best story.
And he
he'll be with me for the Third Man.
He is a former Michigan Wolverine, too, isn't he?
Oh.
He definitely, he is a Michigan Wolverine, and my son also went to Michigan. We are definitely Go Blue people.
I thought the story about Pink Floyd at Ohio Stadium, it was the concert that popped Ohio Stadium's cherry, in essence. And that Jules got a big charge out of building the stage over Woody's grave.
He loved that. He did. He did. Well, it was quite an honor, you know, to be invited to Ohio State. They never had rock concerts. So
I remember. I worked in local radio in Columbus at that point. That would have been my first radio job, going to concerts, like a big concert.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And I remember how we were trying to plan it and what the excitement was. Nobody wanted to drop the ball, and it was so great.
Yeah.
I did see the Stones there, I think in 90, maybe 95 or 94. I remember going to Columbus to see that. It was a great show. Uh-huh. And I don't know about Woody Hayes and all that stuff, but great show. Anyway, Frank, great luck with the book, Rock This Town. Is this available on Amazon and all those places, I assume?
Yes, it's available on Amazon, and we're going to be bringing books with us at Third Man, and Barnes & Noble may be stocking it. I have to check and see, but they usually try to stock my book wherever I go.
Okay. How about Books A Million? There's a Books A Million store near me. Just ask.
It's all about us,
I have my copy, but it's the biggest bookstore near me, so I just thought I'd ask. Any idea?
Well, go in and ask for the book and tell the order.
All right. Jeez, Drew. Great idea. All right, thank you so much, Fran. Good luck. We'll see the 29th at Third Man Records with Gary Graff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Fran. I had so much childish energy about her.
The book is really fun. I have to say I was really enjoying thumbing through it. All the pictures. And I did want the swag, I have to admit.
I went to the one with Nuge, and I remember Nuge performed in the day, and he wore that white leotard that he used to wear all the time. I was like right up front. I was like, wow, it's all like dirty and stuff.
Don't you know you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day?
Nuge!
Nugey!
All right, our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsInTheD.com are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event. They're excited for you to be a part of it during the Zot Jeep Celebration Event. Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month, or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck type, which a lot of audiences for some reason, Ram trucks are popular. You could lease a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month. Better still, how about 0% financing on all new 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang, so strap on your asbestos undies and take advantage of these deals right now. Dr. Yaldo with the Red Shovel Network, the entire network, yes, all of us, and Dr. Yaldo is Michigan's premier eye surgeon. They are loyal and accountable to you when you go see him to get rid of your glasses, contacts, or reading glasses. He knows you came on our recommendation or No BS News or The Soul of Detroit or No Filter Sports. Be sure to mention it. He and his staff will give you great care and attention because we're all in this together. It all works. The circle completes itself because so many people have gone to do this, and he's become a wonderful advertiser for us. Trudy's happy with her LASIK, her designer sunglasses from Dr. Yellow's new eyewear department.
Yeah.
So you don't have to get a surgery. You could go in there and look at their frames. That would be nice, too. Huh? Eli's got his multifocal implants. Be done with old technology. Get precision vision. It'll change your world. Tell them we sent you. You get a free evaluation, preferred pricing, and easy financing if you need it. 800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to yaldoeyecenter.com. And Hall Financial is a top mortgage company in Michigan for client service, big supporters of our show and our network. David Hall and Hall Financial, the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance or take money out of your house, or maybe you want to shorten the length of your loan. You've heard from our listeners. They've saved money on refis. So many. Over 600 five-star reviews because they always put you first. 72% of Hall's business is referral because realtors trust them and the clients love them. They'll go to bat for you. They will shop around and find you the best rate possible. That's why they have so many five-star reviews. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. Call 248-308-5000 or go to our website if you prefer. Drew and Mike Show. Click the link, fill out the form, and they'll get back to you. But fast. They are fast. NMLS number 1467435. Hall Financial. You will not be disappointed.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mark's on Buzzboard.
There's
been a crazy development.
What happened?
It's gone off the rails.
but even more so. So we were laughing because it's just turned into a drop fest, and the one guy who really was complaining about everything, whose name is Mark. Unfortunately.
Mark with
nailed.
A K.
But you know, it really to me ended when who was the guy that posted it? Daypart, I think, just started posting drops. One was I want him declared a nuisance and taken away for the night.
Oh, good.
So he replied, let's see. So if someone disagrees with you, then they should be declared a nuisance? Great concept. Oh. This is America. Free speech and all that, unless you can remember. Can't remember what country you live in.
Oh, my God. I love outrage at drops.
I know.
Yeah, the guy clearly doesn't get it.
It happens all the time.
And so then someone says, boy, that joke went way over your head. Huh. Keep your dirty little mouth shut was the next one. Then there's, you know, there's the debate over the 100,000 downloads.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it's more than 100,000, and if it was per week or per day, it is per episode.
Ha!
For anybody out there that was wondering, and anyway, it just went back and forth battling with this guy. He's basically fighting with drops now, which is hilarious. But the really
how many replies are there on that string?
There's 5 pages now.
Wow.
But the last
what
four.
What it usually says right under the top, it says how many?
61 posts.
60. Oh, my God. There's more since I looked.
But here's the best part. So there's a new post on the board. I think they might have broken that guy, Mark.
Oh, they broke him?
The most. Apparently, this guy had two names, too, on this board.
Ooh.
And the most recent post on the buzz board is Mark King, Chuck Davies leaving for Oregon.
Boy, he's leaving? He's moving?
He's moving
over this?
Bye-bye, son of a bitch.
This is really not going to break your hearts. But as of Friday morning, the 24th, my family and myself are leaving for Oregon.
Later, dude.
We recently sold all our businesses and our home in Utica and decided to take a gig in Portland. I know a lot of you could give a crap, but neither do I. This is just an explanation as to why you will see 2 deleted accounts. And I will never be a pain in the anyone's
ass. Hey, butt face.
Well, now if he's in Oregon and he still wants a connection, he could listen to the podcast.
Hey, what station is your program? What station is your programming out there?
I don't know.
Shoot me, programming.
Right, so.
He sure knows a lot about the business.
Maybe he's flipping houses.
Oh, he's got a radio gig in Portland. Ah, can we look up who just like hired someone in Portland?
Good. Yeah, he knows so much about the business.
He does.
Oh, man. Buzzboard.
They broke him. Good job, Buzzboard. We're breaking this guy.
He got pummeled by drops so hard he had to move as far away as he could.
Right, no, Ray and Pete drops.
I want him to declare the nuisance. I want him taken away.
Oh, oh, this is America!
Buzzboard's created quite a buzz. I mean, we are the top string on there now with the 61 replies. It was the first one up there this morning.
It's also...
You are lying.
Just looking at views. It's the most views since the story about Wheels Deep Cut Saturday.
What's... Never mind. I don't want to ask.
I'm sure it's positive, Trudy.
Deep Cut Saturday.
Sure it is.
Speaking of Wheels, 8 to 11 Saturday, 8 to 11 Sunday, and because of the Buzzboard thing, there's been a lot of people replying to that, including Jason. This is fairly representative. I've been listening to the recent shows. Listen to every one. I'm dropping out to you after you were going over the bitching on Buzzboards. Been listening since 95, back when I graduated high school. My dad turned me on to the show. There's a lot of cool dads out there that turned on people, and actually, that's probably our new life, is people whose dads turned them on to the show.
And moms.
And daddy.
Yes, moms too.
Lauren's mom. Mm-hmm.
I was so happy when you and Mike started the show. Even more excited when I realized Mark and Trudy would be part of it. I was laid off earlier this year, and then my best friend passed away from cancer. So to say it's been a rough time is an understatement. Listening to the podcast has been my main distraction. I listen to each show at least twice.
Wow.
One, because I miss some things, and two, because it's so damn enjoyable. I don't know who these bagels on the Buzzboard are so sour grapes about. I don't know what these bagels on Buzzboard are so sour grapes about. Your mic show is always what ruined other radio shows for me. You never had scheduled topics like a lot of talk radio. We schedule a couple things, but you might have had a schedule, but it never appeared that way to me. Just natural conversation. It would switch topics when needed. I deal with depression issues, and I've had some real bad moments over these. Boy, this guy's had a bitch of a time. Show helps me more than I can say. I'm actually a psychologist.
Oh, wow.
And he says, ooh, I don't prescribe meds, though. I'm not a doctor. So I'm trying to do the things I would ask a client to do, expressing my feelings as part of that. Hey, how nice. So I want to give you a big thank you, Detroit. I love the show. Don't change a thing. Except for one thing, I need more of Walter, the booth announcer. Fuck anyone who says that isn't funny. So...
This is Walter, your booth announcer for the Red Shovel Network.
So, yeah, that's a nice note from Jason. Also says, No Filter is very underrated. It needs more love. I'm telling all my sports-loving friends about it. I agree. I think No Filter, you know, they're kind of the fourth show. They're the, well, they were the third show, but Elric came on like a ball of fire. So they're not getting quite as many a week as ML, but they're not far behind. They're actually, they've been a slow build. Like, most of the shows have been all over the place. Yeah,
like a controlled burn.
Yeah, pretty much. No, they're growing. They're doing very well, actually. So,
ML has a new show, by the way.
What? Another?
Yeah, it's Thursday, so yet another post.
Oh, you mean another?
Oh, another episode. Right. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Uh-huh.
I thought this was America. Because someone replied to that. Great concept. This is America. Free speech and all that. Unless you can't remember what country you live in, someone responded. If you don't love it, leave it. USA number one.
Know, that was just the best part. Responding drops. To drops. And, you know, somebody had asked what, you know, I think it was this one. Hold on. Somebody had written.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
There's a response to that post, too.
But what does he do for the black people?
And then people piled on. Trulane hasn't done anything for the black people.
Of which I'm aware, and I thought, and was thought bigoted by some.
What? Oh, go to hell. Oh, this is the same drop. Guy answering all of this crap.
I'm not a racist.
That's a different guy.
Oh, it's probably his third
he's
account.
Responding to a drop, Drew. Was thought bigoted by some.
Jeez.
How fun.
I'm a racist. Speaking of bigoted, I got an email from somebody who opened up his daughter's yearbook, and on the inside page, there are a bunch of the kids in the class playing the circle game. Like, how many on that page, Brandon? Three or four?
There's three kids on that one picture that they sent us. You
know? Yes. So, more white supremacy.
Well, I hope that high school...
Doesn't have to reprint it.
Doesn't have to reprint it and spend $54,000.
Should we try the school back, by the way? We couldn't get anyone yesterday. It's a little late.
Yeah, we could.
If they're answering their phones.
I just got to find the numbers again.
Brandon also got numbers for some of the people who are accused of... making false claims on the Nasser Healing Fund. at MSU, two former Michigan State basketball players were among the people accused of fraud.
Do we know what players are they?
They named them. Yeah,
known.
I don't. Not, Mark. Come on, wait, women. They're women basketball players.
Oh, women. Oh, well, yeah. I guess you'd have to be. A woman.
Is it possible they were or no?
They never made any claims of any kind until the Healing Fund was made available, $10 million. There was a 75-year-old man who made a claim.
I think NASA would be interested. I'm just thinking, but...
Hi, this is Karen Sullivan at O'Parrick High School.
You okay. Probably too late. Was that dude, Brandon, the 75-year-old dude, was he listed in Clinton Township?
Oh, yeah.
He was?
The one that was
His
in
name's
trouble.
Porter, I
yeah,
think?
Yeah, Porter was listed. Yeah.
Yeah, let's try Porter. 75 years old. He made a claim on the NASA Healing Fund. He's a dude. He's 75. It seemed like, I don't know, would he have been on the gymnastics team, possibly?
Well, he just thought maybe he'd slip through.
Well, in old school, they had an old guy in the fraternity.
Blue. Yeah.
It seemed as if his wife was on there, too, and maybe his daughter. There's three people with the same last name.
Blue, you're my boy!
Wow. So, grifting is a family sport.
Come on, Porta.
Hello.
Hi, is this Marcetta?
I'm sorry you have the wrong number.
Okay, I was just calling. Is Porter there, please?
Yeah, Annette. Sorry, you have the wrong number.
Well, it's listed as Porter's number. I can't understand this. Is this the Johnson residence?
Is this Bill?
What?
Is this Bill?
Well, it might be.
Yeah, put Porter on the phone.
Yeah, get Porter. We need to talk to Porter.
There's no Porter here.
Are you serious?
Bill!
Brandon, what was the percentage, Brandon?
Oh, 100%.
That's my man.
This is
Porter.
What's the daughter's name?
Hey, Porter.
Is Tammy there? Porter, is that you, Porter?
I'm sorry, but you have the wrong number.
Have people been calling you asking for Porter?
Yes, I've got three parties on the phone.
What?
You have the wrong party.
You have a party line?
Okay. Well, you know, I think you're on. I think you have a party line. It sounds like, because I hear other people talking.
I don't have a
Tammy?
Party line.
Oh my God!
Bill.
Hello. Who said Bill?
I miss Bill.
Wait, is that
what's
Porter?
What's your problem?
Porter!
Is that Porter? Yellow?
Porter, my ass! Don't you understand you got the wrong number, you fucking moron?
What? Oh, you're such a big hero.
Good
oh, my God, you're so tough. Whoa, I'm cowering. Hero.
Wait, he didn't say goodbye.
No, he didn't.
Whoa.
What's with all these heroes out there?
I'm worried about her now.
Yeah, I better not call that back.
I don't want to call that.
He was such a hothead. I have a feeling. I don't know.
For her sake, I don't want to call him back.
Is it possible that she's a special needs adult or something? I don't know.
No, but she had a very cute little, like, girlish voice. So I had a picture in my head.
I don't get how people get so angry over something. Yeah. Like that. Whoa!
This is another Johnson family member. I don't know if it's Porter or Mary
or Bill.
What's the percentage chance it's the same household as that guy that just yelled at us?
Oh, 14%.
14? Okay. Oh, is Tammy's number?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. What's the chance it's Tammy's number?
11%.
11? Boy, these are low odds, Brandon.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
You
want
to try the Inkster? Do you have an Inkster number, too?
I do. I have two Inkster numbers, okay, and that's a different family that was also caught trying to do the wrong thing.
Looks like two sisters, perhaps. That
said, or husband
hey,
and wife.
Here's a way to make some money. Oh, I thought there were two female names. Not necessarily.
The way this is spelled, it looks like it could be the male's name.
Okay.
Oh, it's a girly name? Spelled.
Yeah.
So they're trying to toughen them up with a girly name?
Well, Corey.
Corey?
Corey. Guys and girls named Corey.
I'm just wondering, was that guy really mad before we called, or did he just go from 0 to 100? Like
I think he just
that?
Heard her trying to tell us it was the wrong number.
He's
and
defending.
He just
his
got mad.
Girl. Good for him.
He's a hero.
Good for him. Relax, dude.
He's super. Get rid of caller man. Hi, is this Corey?
Yes.
Hi, Corey. This is the Drew and Mike Show. We're calling. There was somebody listed in the paper as involved with the Healing Fund at Michigan State, the Nasser Fund.
Where was it?
Somebody's listed in the paper as perhaps having an issue with the Healing Fund at Michigan State. Would that be you, Corey?
No.
Okay, you didn't experience any mistreatment by trainer Larry Nasser?
Say it again?
Were you mistreated by trainer Larry Nasser at Michigan State? Is that you?
No, who is this calling? I'm trying to find out.
It's the Drew and Mike Show. Your name was listed, but I wasn't sure if it was the right person exactly. It seems like it fits the name, but it's crazy. Does that sound familiar? The Healing Fund at Michigan State? If you don't know anything about it, then that's obviously it's the wrong person.
Have you ever heard of Dr. Larry Nasser?
Yellow.
It's him.
Is Porter there?
It's him. That's him. Oh boy.
Okay.
You think so?
I think so. I was going to ask for Mary, but he hung because Mary is the other one that's associated with the last name.
Man, that takes some balls.
Got one more number.
That's what happens when you name your kid Corey.
It could be Corey or Mary.
Oh no.
Okay. No, we don't know for sure. What's the percentage chance, Brandon?
37.
Okay. Oh. So it's less than 50% chance. It may not be.
I'm still pretty confident that was Corey.
I just want to give them their chance to tell their side of the story, break their silence.
Clear their name.
What a hero that guy was. He just ripped the phone out of her hand and went off.
I have a feeling he's always listening in on our conversations.
Yeah, I think he was too.
Sorry, the mailbox is full and there is not enough space to leave a message.
That could be.
Why do mailboxes ever get full anymore? How does anything get just put in the cloud?
Ugh. Okay. Well,
yuck.
Today there were two stories about the District of Detroit and the Illiches.
Oh, yeah. Man.
The Detroit News one is long, but wow, is it dead on.
Yeah. First of all, there's the story Detroit News where they're talking about how it's inside the Illich's land of unfulfilled promises. What a clever headline.
Hey, where's the promises song for Mike Clark?
Oh.
Be perfect for them.
Great point. That'd be funny if we had Chris Illich just drops all over the promises song from his press conference in 2014.
I knew that wouldn't pan out. How about over Christmas vacation if I do that? Get Dolly.
Get Dolly.
Bring her here by May in the plane. We're going to go gambling with my dad. Do a helicopter flight
over in January. Stop making promises, promises, promises.
And I talked to his people, and that ended up to be a real cluster bleep. These are all things I want to do that I just don't end up having time to do. I overcommit myself. Okay. Oh, Christ, am I overwhelmed. I mean, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, what about that Reuben sandwich with Lucy?
You see, these things I want to do. This is what you people don't understand.
What about his seaplane rating?
You know, the problem was I wanted a specific airplane for that. I didn't want these Piper Cubs and some of these other planes. I wanted a Cessna 182. And
radio for three.
Stop making promises, promises, promises.
Did Lucy ever get a Reuben sandwich?
No.
I was
trying
so.
To think, listening to that.
Still looking for that meal in Charlevoix. God damn it, I am so overwhelmed. I do want to quit smoking, or at least cut it way back, way back. Call Walter's dad over vacation, talk about flying. Go to Porsche's restaurant. I'm going to commit to some things here.
Did none of those.
Well, I'm going to bring in, Drew, a little electric helicopter that Matt Cunyata's made for me.
There's
I'm
one.
Fly in this studio. And that's going to happen. That's a brand new promise. Maybe I have ADD, Drew. Man, you need Ritalin to get this stuff done.
So one? He fulfilled one? Although, does he get any credit? Because Dolly came here, but he didn't go get her. Dolly came for the men's expo. Dolly from Survivor.
Oh, that's right. Oh my
God. She did come into town, but he did not go get her.
No, he didn't.
So we'll give him a half a point.
Matt Kenyatta. How many times did Matt Kenyatta get referenced on the show? 1,000 times? We ever talked to Matt Kenyatta? No.
Best service after the sale for Mike.
So, anyway, the Ilitch's inside the land of unfulfilled promises. Ilitch's owner controls 60% of the properties in District Detroit. Which they also control many of the city-owned properties, such as Little Caesars Arena.
Don't they say, too, later that 60% encompasses some land that they wouldn't be able to buy anyway, like Castech,
right?
Or the Masonic Temple.
Yes. The district was supposed to be transformed by 2017, but 12 of the 50 blocks they promised are more vacant than they were in 2014.
Heh.
While they say we've invested over $1.5 billion in the area already with Little Caesars Arena, Little Caesars headquarters, Mike's Ilitch School of Business, parking lots, parking lots, parking lots, parking lots, parking lots, parking lots, parking lots. They haven't done anything like what was promised at that press conference when we saw all the, oh my God, look at all the shops, look at all the restaurants, look at all the little cafe. Oh God, it's so nice. Look at people everywhere. Look at all the grass. Look at all the, I mean, it was this huge
such
promise.
As,
in fact, it was supposed to transform downtown Detroit.
Including 184 apartments that were supposed to open at the same time as LCA.
Yes.
And 2 years ago, they said they were going to start one of the largest residential developments in recent city history, creating nearly 700 new housing units in six buildings.
They also own 29 historical buildings. The only two that they've restored are the Fox Theater and the Hockey Town Cafe.
Self-interest.
Yes, exactly. Just like Little Caesars Arena. Oh, we're in such a hurry to finish this. Everything will screw it. Little Caesars Arena, Little Caesars headquarters seems to be awfully high on the priority list. So then he gives, I wondered if because maybe they knew Detroit News was running this story, he gave a brief interview to the Free Press. And this is the weirdest thing. They said they had 15 minutes. He read a statement. Why would you read a statement to open your 15-minute interview? But he did. And then
what, a lawyer writer or a PR department?
Probably. And then the writer said he answered their questions in primarily talking points. We've accomplished a lot in the last 5 years and in the last 60 years. We have a proven track record. The parking lots are there because we have four sports teams and no mass transit. So it's not our fault. And, of course, the Little Caesars headquarters will be amazing.
But I like this quote from 2014. It's been very painful to not be able to develop some of the property. Because every time we made a move, the price for another property would shoot way up.
They own 60% of the properties, and they let them fall into disrepair.
Of course.
This was the chance to do something about what they were accused of, which was pretty much being slumlords and just hoarding these properties they were doing nothing with. Now, the reason that the Free Press...
I defend them to a point, though, because the city really helped them out with it.
Well, they did, but...
The city didn't really hold their feet to the fire.
They're the ones that made the promises in 2014 and said,
well, the state,
look at this 50-block area we're going to build. And when you take that many millions in tax dollars, not to mention the break they just got, $74 million for reaching some level of investment, which is... They've only done things for themselves at this point. What I find most objectionable is Chris Ilitch's attitude about this and him referencing their proven track record and the last 60 years. Chris Ilitch is not Mike Ilitch. Mm-hmm. First of all, Mike Ilitch, who I will praise for many, many things, but he's also been criticized for many things, as you are. If you're involved in that much business, you're going to have ups and downs.
Far more good than bad.
Yeah, Mike Ilitch
by far
was certainly, I do believe he cared. I do believe he was generally a man of his word. Maybe not always, but you know, you don't get that successful by always doing things for other people. But Chris Ilitch, I'm just so annoyed for him to point to their 60 years because he is the one at the press conference in 2014. Oh, this is a Chris Ilitch thing. Yes, I'm taking over now. I'm doing this. 50 blocks, shops, cafes. Look at all the people running around. And they even had cute little names for them. You know, oh, God, what are they called? Oh, Columbia Park and Wildcat Corner and Cass Park Village. And these cute names were on the map on the website for District Detroit. Well, the cute names are gone now.
Oh, what kind of a wiener name is that?
I know, we're kind of wiener names, true.
I thought this was interesting, too, in the Detroit news
Five story. Specific neighborhoods, though, they were mapping out and all the things they would have. And a lot of, you know, greenery and beer gardens and things like that.
Regarding the parking lots, I didn't know this, but in 2016, they built or expanded, you know, the 18 parking lots. The city did not even enforce a landscaping requirement applied to surface parking lots, allowing for more room and additional parking spaces.
So no trees or shrubbery or flowers or anything.
They're supposed to have.
And they're making a lot of money on these parking lots.
Yeah.
So don't get the idea that, oh, my God, we were forced to. We had to have 3,000 spaces within 1,000 yards or whatever he's claiming. Well, of course there's got to be parking for the arena. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the idea was this wasn't going to be a parking lot development. That wasn't what we were looking at in your pretty pictures in 2014. And Chris Illich has been running the show where we were told, hey, Chris Illich is running things now, the amazing Chris Illich. And this was his first big thing, was this 50-block area in Little Caesars Arena, and all these tax dollars, $324 million, which really, if you expand it out over how it's paid back, et cetera, it's really a lot more than $320 million. Not to mention, they came up with, was it 30-some million for the Pistons? When they decided to come downtown, they had to vote.
I thought it was closer to 50.
It was a lot of money. And yet, none of these other things have been done. So for him to lay claim to this 60-year tradition, to hell with you. I didn't see you until 2014. And as far as I know, you've been running the Tigers since, what, 2017 or something. And that hasn't been a great experience for me as a fan,
personally.
I'm not really impressed. But
he's doing great. Just ask him.
Yeah, they announced DMC's breaking ground on a sports medicine facility, which, by the way, why didn't he mention that when HBO was asking questions? I mean, it seems like this is awfully, suddenly they want to announce something. And then they've got a timetable on the Hotel Eddystone, which is, you know, whatever.
What about those cool apartment buildings on Henry Street? Did you read that in the Detroit News article?
Three apartment buildings
on Henry Street. One of the buildings is closed. The other two have been hit with city blight violations. They just sound like a total dump. They're just sitting there.
I got to tell you, too, I was reading about the Fox Theater deal back in the day. Whoa, what a sweet deal that was for them.
I didn't realize that, but that area was a dump.
No, it was. It was a total disaster.
And I do give him a lot of credit for, at least Michael Illich, a lot of credit for seeing what he wanted it to be.
Well,
and the renovation inside, which had to be painstaking.
And he's the beneficiary of it.
But they do have 29. They bought 29 buildings, historic buildings. They've restored two.
Yeah.
Comerica Park's fine. Little Caesars Arena's fine. Ford Field is fine. I mean, it is an area, but they promised so much more in 2014. And by the way, people build new stadiums, and they usually are nice. And the city contributed, or the state contributed, a lot of money to build that. And with that came an expectation that they were going to do something, too, which, by the way, should benefit them, rightfully, if you're building a
But if it would benefit them, it'd be
area,
done. It'd be done.
Well, it sounds like they have not been the easiest people to deal with, because a couple developers said that things they were trying to do fell through. And
how Weasley, though. You don't respond to the Detroit news, but you read a statement.
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean. I think the whole thing's been
Weasley. Man up.
Why not talk to HBO? Why not just literally, you know, you made such a hoop-de-doo in 2014 about all you were going to do. The least you could do is explain why we didn't get anything we were expecting out of the $324 million other than your stuff. Little Caesars Arena, they busted their ass to finish that thing. The headquarters, don't tell me they're not busting their ass to finish that. The Mike Illich School of Business. But what about all the other stuff for everybody else? Seems like when it comes to their stuff, they get it done.
Man up!
It's just frustrating. Really frustrating. Did you see the Ralph Northam blackface investigation?
Yeah.
Is completed?
Wow. How about all of Virginia?
Spent a lot of money investigating this stupid thing.
How about all of Virginia? Remember what a big deal it was? There was the attorney general and the lieutenant governor had issues too. Those just went poof.
Well, also,
time moves on, the news cycle keeps rolling. Poof.
What happened to the guy who had sexually
assaulted? That's the lieutenant governor. No, he's not leaving. Poof. Nobody cares anymore.
That story was so big for what, 4 or 5 days?
That's how the cycle moves so fast now.
But I thought it was interesting that they actually completed an investigation, and they said I forgot how much they spent. It was a lot of money. which struck me as kind of stupid. I mean, you're talking about a yearbook picture from 37 years ago.
I got to believe everyone's satisfied with the results of the investigation, right?
Oh, of course.
Well, wait. So who's the current governor of Virginia?
Ralph Northam, the same guy.
Okay.
And guess what? They can't decide if that's him in that picture or not.
No, they really know.
We could have told you the day it came out. No one will know.
It's a yearbook 37 years old. How much are we going to find out? I mean, it's sort of like
Judge Kavanaugh
and his high school calendar. I mean, really? We're really trying to pick a Supreme Court justice based on a high school calendar?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, they said they can't determine the origin of the photo.
This cost how much to not figure it out?
I'm not sure exactly.
The investigation
they interviewed
cost?
Quite a few people, though.
Wow.
And there's no evidence the picture was put on his page in error. That's all they could say. There was no evidence. They didn't say that there was evidence that he put it on there. They just said there's really no evidence that it was put on in error. But, you know, who is going to raise their hand and say, you know what? Yeah, I put the blackface picture on there against his wishes. 37 years ago.
The Virginia pilot's got a really good inside the administration when the story broke and the picture came out. It's really good. It's really funny. He was supposed to go to a funeral for a soldier, and he turned around because that stupid picture became public.
Which he apologized for, only the next day to say, it's not me in the picture!
Yeah, after
the
he said
fuck?
It was.
Brandon, we got a boner line today?
We do have a great boner line. A great boner line today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I laughed a lot putting it together.
It's quite a ballyhooing session over there.
I just thought it was funny. I thought we got a lot of really good calls.
Good. Okay. You want to roll the boner line?
Let's spin it.
Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, Zoobs, Walter, and Maz.
Drew, I thought you were hot, and I saw you smoking. I'm breaking up with you now.
Fine. I don't ever want to see you again.
In regards to Melinda Gates' autobiography, you need to read the book and make your own audiobook for it. Please, Drew, record yourself reading Melinda Gates' book.
Great idea.
I think you guys always mentioned like 1,000 times that Gary Bertinelli and Eddie Van Halen look so much alike that that's probably why they got together. But I was just noticing, man, dude, Jim Harbaugh and his wife, they look exactly the same.
Really?
They look like he could be brother and sister.
Oh, you're my sister.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Drew for the Larry King Clueless Award. Kate Beckinsdale 50 times. Power cars. You thought the World Trade Center only had one tower? Are you saying that they put a cocaine cellar with a cocaine attic?
No,
get
out of
here. Fuck you, Brandon. Brandon.
You fucking Billy Goat fucking motherfucker, dude. Fuck, they're about to punch you.
Get your fucking head out of your ass. Get up in there, little hands.
All right.
Love you, baby.
I'm sorry.
I gotta say, Mark, soccer fucking sucks. My kids asked to play it. I said, nope.
Yikes, you're strict.
We're Americans. We play American sports. Not European bullshit.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get it out.
Stop laughing. It's not fun.
Drew, I just want to say it was a pleasure meeting you at the Tigers game yesterday.
Who are you?
I was with the group by the smoke pit where they corral everybody around like cattle.
Who the fuck is that?
You were quick to point out that we were millennials.
Oh, boy.
Besides how much you shit on millennials, there is a strong following of the Drew and Mike show that are millennials.
Thank you.
We do like muscle cars. We just can't afford them because we're drowning in student loan debt.
That's the only excuse we'd accept.
Your attire for the game was kind of interesting. A black polo with a little Beatles symbol on it.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if that would be my first choice to wear a boy band t-shirt to the Tigers game.
You dick!
But nonetheless, it was great meeting you. And you seem like a great guy.
Who the hell are you, anyway?
I was listening to the best of. Mark, with a C, was playing a DMX song. And Brandon, you added your little anti-Gen X comments over top of it. And I had to stop my car because it was so funny that I almost pissed my pants. And I am Gen X. X gon' give it to you. Knock, knock. Open up the door and spread. Here's a helmet. Stop my problem standing still. Here's a knock, please, ribbon. Hey, I got the most DMX's music on. Here's a participation trophy. So listening to your Skype call with Bob about A-Rod on Turd Bass, and it's fucking cracking me up. ooh, I live over in Europe.
Ooh.
And I have to Skype with my parents and parents-in-law and family all the time. And this is every Skype session. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They click on something. They rotate the video 90 degrees. They hide it. They can't see us. The sound is gone. Every fucking Skype session is exactly just like this one with Bob.
That computer has a virus, and I hate to tell you, but it's AIDS.
Hi. I have a question for Walter. Who the fuck is Emma Elrich?
Emma Elrich, sold out Detroit.
Hey, if the people that run horse racing cared about the animals as much as they say they do, when they got injured, why then wouldn't they just put the animal into a medically induced coma until they heal? Kind of like they do people.
I don't have time for this.
The whole turd base drawing, I'm wondering when that's going to be available as like an authentic, you know, so we can just buy the portrait and put it up over the fireplace.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
How do y'all take a shit?
Drew, what the fuck are you doing agreeing with this asshole safari? What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Seriously.
I didn't do it.
I totally 100% agree that I have negative interest about anything that Melinda does ever, anywhere, period. If she just dropped off the edge of the earth, I would have zero interest in even that. I just don't ever want to hear from her ever again.
She's basically a disaster.
Car Joe is getting married for the third time I heard you guys say on the podcast. Does her friends get tired of buying her gifts? Like wedding gifts or throwing her a shower, or they just say, you know what? We're not giving you anything anymore because you have too many weddings.
We're getting hit.
One thing I certainly don't give a fuck about is A-Rod sitting on the toilet. Thanks for making me fast forward through 10 minutes of useless time on your show.
Are you okay?
I really appreciate it, Drew.
Oh, what? You gonna cry?
I don't give a fuck about turd base.
Oh, what are you gonna do? Cry now?
I don't give a fuck about Skype.
No, go ahead. Quiet. Let me see.
I don't give a fuck about Bob Page.
Let me see. Quiet.
It's probably fast forward.
You talk about something decent. It's not even funny. Okay?
You guys were on Radio Buzzboard. You got to stay off the Radio Buzzboard. It's nothing but a bunch of trolls. Nothing more than a bunch of trolls. Stay off of there.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Thanks, guys. Queue up to go work. I listen to everyone on the Red Shovel Network shows every day on my way home.
You are so generous. Thank you.
Hold on, line. Oh!
Wow.
I was stuck on that first guy about Harbaugh looking like Sarah Harbaugh, looking like brother and sister, but yeah. I think he might be onto something. There's a few pictures. It's the jawline and it's the lips and the nose. There's a lot of similarity between Jim and Sarah Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because they're both hot.
Right. And she has a little
Jim
Christine.
Is not hot.
What?
Get a room with
what?
Him.
What are you talking about? He's very hot.
They do look alike.
It's really.
I'm Jim Harbaugh.
It's not every picture, but there's a lot where it's like, oh, they look.
We
like
need to Photoshop blonde hair onto him so we can see how close it is. Well, but
I think it's pretty close.
It's pretty close. And their children.
Wow. Smoking, man.
Their children are like carbon copies of each other, which means that DNA has
similarities. Yes. That's funny.
Never saw that before. That's crazy. Even the gum line. Look at this one, Trudy. Look at the gum line.
Oh, wow.
And the upper lip. It's exactly the same there.
Wow. Wow, the eyes, yeah.
Looking for someone to fall in love with that looked like him.
Yeah, I don't blame him. It's hot.
Hey, you want to, do you have the Tony Robbins story?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in this pile. There's also the Mario Batali story.
Yeah, the both of them. Honestly, this whole Me Too thing. Has there been one person convicted of anything?
No. It's just the
Mario Batali did not.
I don't think he was ever charged. I mean, they all lost their companies.
Well, yeah, people are being charged, but some of these are real iffy. If they couldn't get Weinstein on the 2016 thing in New York, which there was tape of it. I thought that one was that one looks pretty promising, but
I did see that kind of the other way around, where Jeffrey Rush won a really big defamation suit because people tried to Me Too him and it was false.
Wow.
Because he has the favorable laws of where was he at?
Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. He won $2.9 million in that.
So those laws are a little more favorable to famous people and celebrities and defamation.
Well, I want to come back to Mario and Tony. Hi, Mario. By the way, we talked about Mario's a chef, right?
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
We talked about that crazy.
He always wore Crocs.
No, he wasn't a chef. Yeah, he was a famous. He was. Mario is.
Uh-oh.
But there's a guy in California, 48 Hours did a story on, who was a famous hairstylist. I was thinking he was a chef.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of his name. He and his sister were, you know, won all these international awards. And he was murdered in his hot tub. Uh-huh. And they had video of these two guys who were jogging with, they had hoodies, and they had tugged the string real tight so you couldn't see their faces at all.
Yeah.
But you could see him going into the house, and then they went through the house. They stabbed him to death in his hot tub, and then they drove away in his Porsche.
Mm.
And they took the entire security system, which was in a very specific place in the garage, and right away they said, boy, something to get that
inside
security
job.
System out of here sure seems inside.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, they... his wife, this hairstylist, I want to say, I thought his name might have been Mario.
Fabio.
Not the
Cementilli?
Fabio. Yeah, Tim. That's him. From Canada, moved to Los Angeles to expand this business.
Fabio's a good name for a hairdresser.
No doubt. Mm. It turned out a couple days later, they had some, you know, vigil at the house, and a lot of people noticed that, who's this strange guy here that his widow is talking to?
Hmm.
Who, by the way, had a bandage on his hand.
Oh, boy.
And so they end up checking her phone records, of course. And, she's talking to this guy a lot.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's talking to her a lot. And there's a security camera at a nearby mall, I think, where they were maybe an hour after the murder, before her daughter had gotten home and found him dead.
Oh.
I mean, it was just the weird. This guy had a... He was on the sex registry, the sex criminal registry, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
He had some kind of conviction for underage sex, I believe. And so he somehow cut himself in this thing, and they got a drop of his blood, and they're like, oh, it's this guy. He's in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the guy that's on the phone with her all the time. Oh, what do you know?
Wow.
So I don't know if that thing has gone to trial yet.
Well, they were but just... Charged with capital murder?
Yeah, she's fucked. She's completely fucked.
Oh,
you know, she's, I think, 45, 46 years old. This guy was a creep. I don't know why she was. Well, I guess I noticed they talked to, I believe it was a couple other people where they worked out, and they said, oh, yeah, he's a real man's man. He's really hot. He drives a motorcycle, and he did some porn. And so she fell for Mr. Hot and decided that she didn't want this Fabio dude around anymore. But wanted his $1.5 million life insurance and all his stuff.
Yeah.
Busted! I don't know why
spouses
think they're going to get away with this stuff, but they always do, don't they?
They're the first suspect. I noticed that her haircut kind of sucks now, so she's not got that going for her anymore.
Oh, that bitch. I just couldn't get over that story.
Wow.
She had it all. They had this beautiful house and this incredible life. But she wanted to be the porn star, so sorry. Yeah, she's going. She'll never see the light of day. Neither will he. But there was speaking of, you know, the idea that people never seem to really get in trouble, or just how much you can do without really getting into trouble. Somebody sent me this story today about this guy, Christopher Cleary, 27 years old, charged with stalking 8 women since 2012. He had a pot bust in 2016. He was on probation for the pot bust when he was charged with stalking 2 teenagers. Then in 2017, he was charged with stalking while on probation for the pot bust. And also he was charged with harassing the caseworker who he was dealing with for the stalking. Then in 2018, he was sentenced to probation again for 3 stalking cases. 3 more.
Oh.
One of the girls was strangled and urinated on by this loser. And then in 2019, he posted on Facebook, no one cares about me. I'm 27 and I've never had a girlfriend. I'm a virgin.
Incel.
I'm going to shoot as many women as I can in a public place and be the next mass shooter because I'm ready to die. He just pleaded to attempted threat of terrorism, and they believe he will get probation again. So you can stalk 8 women. You can harass your caseworker. You can get busted for pot. Then you can say you're going to be the next mass shooter on Facebook and never serve a day in jail.
Sounds like a case for the star.
Star Chamber. Yeah.
Absolutely. Where's Michael Douglas?
Maybe a Star Chamber sounder.
There's right another true crime story that just is not getting enough coverage right now, and it's the Kellen Winslow Jr. trial. I don't see it being covered anywhere. I guess it's live on Court TV, which, once again, no one knows where Court TV is.
I had to Google this to get us, because you were talking about it, and I Googled it, and there it comes up. But, yeah, I've been looking in the usual places, and it isn't being talked about.
You know, Dan Wetzel, who writes for Yahoo, is there. They just send him to every court sports related thing, because he did Aaron Hernandez.
Should we talk to Dan about this? Maybe we should get him on.
I think so.
I
mean, it's really a rough case, but it's so weird. And that article that he posted, I think last night, explains Jane Doe number 2, one of the transient women that he's on trial for raping Kellen Winslow the second. I always wondered, how did he meet these chicks? And he gives a nice breakdown of how they knew each other and what exactly happened and transpired. He's a great writer. I'm not just saying that because isn't he from Berkeley or lives in Berkeley?
He's from Birmingham, I think.
From Birmingham now? Damn.
Kellen Winslow, by the way, has completely changed his appearance since he was arrested. He's cut his hair real short. He's got glasses and a beard. So the idea was, of course, to make him less recognizable to the victims, obviously.
How stupid are we, though? We're not, I mean.
No, this is just so frustrating. He's involved in assaulting multiple women in a short period of time. Also, entering residences where he didn't know the people that lived there and claiming he was looking for some dog he didn't have, by the way. I mean, the story is just terrible. He raped, a 76-year-old?
Yeah,
two transients and another woman.
Didn't he troll sites looking for these people?
Kind of. That's how he met that girl that was on the stand, woman that was on the stand
yeah,
yesterday.
This case is really fucked up because there's something terribly, terribly wrong with this guy, and they are doing everything they can to use his football money and his father's influence and money him off.
Not going
to
work.
I hope not. At times she struggled to speak. At times she struggled to breathe. Across the day of testimony here outside San Diego, she refused as best she could from even glancing over in the direction of the man she said violently raped her on a dark North County Road over a year ago. I really don't want to look at him, the woman identified as Jane Doe, number 2, said Wednesday. I really don't appreciate it. Don't appreciate what? Defense attorney Mark Carlos asked. That I have to look at my rapist. I think he should be seated further over.
Ooh, that backfired. That question backfired.
Mm-hmm. He in question is Kellen Winslow II, former NFL star. Doe 2 is a 59-year-old homeless woman who resided most nights behind the train tracks in downtown Encinitas. I'd sleep against the wall so the sheriffs couldn't see me. Exactly how Winslow, a married 35-year-old, who made $40 million playing pro football, became, at the very least, acquaintances with someone like Doe is a question unto itself. He faces life in prison for allegedly raping her, as well as a 55-year-old transient, and back in 2003, an unconscious 17-year-old, has captured the attention of Southern Cal. He's also charged with 5 misdemeanor counts stemming from exposing himself to 2 elderly women, one his neighbor, another who he allegedly encountered in a health club hot tub. Now, he wasn't arrested for he was masturbating in his car. He had an open jar of Vaseline.
Oh, that's right. When he was in Cleveland,
that was just somebody they I think were talking about arresting him. And the woman said, "Yeah, I got out of my car. He was masturbating and staring at me." Ugh. This guy is fucked up. He's a mess. 5-6 people don't just make this shit up. That's let's see. So these two, who resided at the opposite spectrums of San Diego society, wound up in the same courtroom. One was rich and renowned, the other destitute and discounted. The two knew each other, she said, because Winslow often rolled through downtown Encinitas in his black Hummer II and talked to homeless and transient women. On their first encounter, she said, he gave her a ride after he discovered her pulling her belongings en route to a shelter. He called himself Kevin, he said. He offered her food or some cash, usually $25. Once he asked if she'd exchange sex for $50, but Jane Doe said she declined. I'm not that type of person. Then Mother's Day 2018, she said he pulled up again, this time to the transit station where she hung out with her other homeless friends. She walked over to speak with him because other than the prostitution proposition, he'd been nice. He asked if she wanted to go get dinner. She said coffee. He agreed. She climbed in bringing all her belongings in crude grocery store bags but forgetting her cell phone, which she'd lent to a friend. As they drove, she got concerned that they were heading in a direction where there were no coffee shops. Then the road Manchester Avenue grew dark in the vicinity of San Elijo Lagoon. That's when he pulled over, shut the car off, got out, and began walking to the passenger side. Terrified, she locked the door, only to have him unlock it with his key fob.
Oh, boy.
He, like, helped me.
Terror.
Grab my arm, she testified slowly. He said, we're going to have sex. I said, don't do this. I said it 4 times. He said, it's a done deal. Oh, boy. What followed was a forceful and painful attack. She left with what she believed was no way out against the 6'5", 240-pound former tight end. I was afraid of him. He was a super big guy. She said he later took her hands and wrapped them around her own neck to choke her in an effort to keep her from screaming. Oh, my God. Bent over halfway in the Hummer 2 and halfway out, I just put my head down on the bottom of the car and waited for it to be over.
Ugh.
Winslow ejaculated on the ground, not in her. She theorized it was a way to avoid detection. Indeed, there's no conclusive DNA match in the case. Afterwards, she testified he told her he would kill her if she told anyone. I just thought it was the end of my life. He then drove her away from the scene, dropped her off on the side of a different road. She walked back to Encinitas.
Nice guy.
Now she's here in a gleaming modern criminal courtroom, her words being broadcast nationally on Court TV.
Which no one knows what channel that is.
I know, it's really weird. Court TV was such a thing, and it's just...
Jane Doe number 3 was on the stand today. This is the woman that was gardening that he beat off in front of.
Jane Doe number 1, her testimony on Tuesday fell apart under cross-examination due to contradictions and even direct lies. For example, she repeatedly told the jury she hadn't had a single drink in 30 years, only to be confronted by the defense with a slew, 11 in all, of arrests for public intoxication. So, hey, isn't this fun? You've got these superstar attorneys going after transients, and what do you know?
Yep.
They just...
After they
kicked
remade
her ass.
Him, how he looks.
Bullshit. In trying to make sense out of a nonsensical encounter that had just occurred in his own front yard, the husband of Jane Doe number 3 offered up a reasonable summation. Apparently, we have a pervert living in the neighborhood.
It's pretty simple when you put it that way, huh?
This is the person, and he came and took off his pants, Doe testified. I don't know what to say. Prosecutors say the person was Kellen Winslow II, the former NFL star, standing on 12 counts here, including 7 felonies related to 3 alleged rapes, 2 of them of 50-something homeless and transient women he met on the streets of Encinitas. Doe is a small, thin, 59-year-old Vietnamese woman who testified Thursday via translator. She told a wild tale of cutting flowers in her front yard garden on the afternoon of May 24, 2018. Man pulled up on his bicycle and approached her. She said she'd briefly met him the month before when he also rode up and introduced himself as David.
Huh.
He then asked if she was married. She said yes and tried to walk away. He left. Now he's back. I was cutting flowers. He was right there, Doe said, signaling her side. He walked up behind me. He asked if I was cutting a lot of flowers. I said, only these. She then tried to walk away toward her side yard, hoping he would leave, but he didn't. Oh, no, he didn't want to see the flowers, she said. I was walking toward the orange tree, and he was following me. Then he took off his pants and exposed his penis to me. I said, no, 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 and then I walked away.
Ugh.
Doe said he was wearing a tight cyclist outfit. Oh, God.
Of course.
And pulled his shorts down just enough so he exposed himself to her. She was stunned and offended. Once he left, she woke her husband from a nap. They then called the police because he came to my house and showed me his penis, she said. That's very sick. Prosecutors did not ask Doe to identify Winslow in court. It's not clear she even knew he was there. On the stand, she said Vietnamese custom is not to look strangers in the face, and her 2 encounters with the man were brief and disturbing. I don't care about him. I don't look at him. On the stand, she said she didn't know the height of the man, but surmised he was smaller than Deputy Klein, who later said he stands 6'3", 6'4", and weighs about 250. That person is not as fat as the deputy, because the deputy is very fat, she said, causing the courtroom to laugh. Yeah, boy.
Although Wetzel points out that the guy was wearing a bulletproof vest, the deputy.
The misidentification is the best shot the defense has of arguing away this incident. It's clear something happened to Doe, told a believable tale, and obviously was not comfortable being in court. She struggled with nerves and language barrier during court and seemed quite pleased. When Judge Blaine Bowman told her she was allowed to leave, she stood up and bowed to him before shaking his hand. Winslow needs the jury to believe there's another man who fits at least some of his characteristics as an avid cyclist who appears to have an affinity for perverse encounters with 50-something-year-old women.
Good luck with that. That's not going to happen.
3 days, the prosecution established a pattern of behavior. He picked up a 55-year-old transient woman, Jane Doe 1, walking the streets, raped her in his car. He then raped a 58-year-old homeless woman, Jane Doe 2, in his car for picking her up by offering her coffee. He and his slick car appear to be well-known in the homeless community in Encinitas. Still to come is an alleged rape at a 2003 party and a separate exposure incident involving Winslow and a 77-year-old woman in a health club hot tub.
There's too many. There's no way he's going to get off on all of them.
I hope not.
But it sounds like the first...
I bet he gets some pretty good justice for him for what he's done.
Yeah.
Because, of course, they're beating up these women. Congratulations. You can whip up a whip up on a homeless woman.
Wow.
Mario Batali.
Are you surprised there's not more coverage of this trial? Or
yeah, I'm very surprised. I don't know. I don't understand.
Remember how much ESPN covered, and I know it's a murder, and it was Aaron Hernandez who was still playing at the time, but that was like wall to wall coverage. I don't think I've seen this on ESPN. I mean, Outside the Lines could do a good story on this. They're too busy with the WNBA. They were, Trudy. Is the WNBA starting back?
I got
up.
So
how much is there pissed to
watching that story today? So stupid.
It's pretty funny though, and I do want to point out the new logo for the WNBA is one of their players doing a layup.
Hey,
because you know there's no more exciting play in basketball than a layup.
Well, sports are played by men, starving dogs, and juiced up horses.
I didn't see any dunks.
Well, or at least I don't know, show a person shooting a 3-pointer.
Mario Batali is charged with indecent assault and battery in what appears to be the first criminal charge to arise from a series of sexual misconduct allegations. He'll be in court tomorrow morning, Friday morning. Mario Batali stepped away from his restaurant empire after several women accused him of sexual harassment and assault, now facing charges for allegedly kissing and groping a woman against her will. Boy, he was in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a good place to assault a woman.
Yeah, there was an upstairs room.
Oh. Woman told police she saw him at Town Stove and Spirits on Boylston Street in 2017. Restaurants near Italy, Boston. What kind of stupid
That's his
name
line.
Is that?
Italy?
Italy?
Like Italy, only eat.
Oh
how clever. Cute. That is
dork.
So cute.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
Boy, sounds like you know a lot about Mario Batali, Trudy.
I watched the 2020 special or whatever it was.
The Prudential Center Indian Marketplace is part of Batali's restaurant portfolio. She was eating dinner at the bar with a friend, recognized him a few seats away. Woman said she was taking a picture of him over her shoulder. What? What's with all the pictures? Does everyone have to have a fucking picture of everything?
Yes, apparently.
I mean, isn't it getting ridiculous? Somebody sent me an email of, I'm trying to remember, what in the hell was it? It was something at the, it was Brooke Koepka, I think.
Yeah,
and,
I saw the
and
same
there,
picture.
And there were everyone holding their phone up like a bunch of clones. Oh, my God, for Brett Koepka, I know Maz
Brooks.
Maz thinks he's so hot. He would have been holding his
hotter than his wife, apparently.
She was eating dinner, recognized him, wanted to take a picture. He noticed her and told her, come here right now. She went over to apologize and told him she would erase the photo, but he told her it was okay and offered to take a selfie with her. As she stood next to his bar stool, he put his arm around the woman, then grabbed her chest.
Oh boy.
And started kissing her face and touching her groin.
Ah,
with,
geez. Get over here. God, he moves like lightning.
How presumptuous.
She stopped taking photos, pulled away. She said he kept pulling on her face and asked if she wanted to join him in his hotel room nearby.
Pulling on her face? What a weird move, Batali.
And he seemed intoxicated by the smell. Not the claw, though.
I want to kiss you.
Right, not the claw.
He seemed intoxicated by the smell and half-closed eyes. Oh, attractive. Ugh. It's attractive enough as it is. Yeah, and there's other degree. Tony Robbins, you know, is he going to escape this? Because Tony Robbins,
pretty rich.
He's very rich. He also has a number of people who think he is so wonderful. And they're all, of course, coming out and saying, oh, no, Tony Robbins, I've worked with him for so long. I've been part of his program. And, you know, they're members and they go to all these things and they pay all this money. And so it's almost like a little cult. And they all say, oh, not Tony Robbins. Never Tony Robbins.
Are these men or women saying this?
Women.
Really?
Well, yep. Well, the first story I read had many, many people supporting him or vouching for him.
Wow.
But he's facing four new allegations of sexual misconduct. Four women have stepped forward, according to Wednesday's report. Three former followers and a person since saying he grew up with them, exposed himself or made unwanted advances. Wait, these are four new ones, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Robbins responded to the original report by posting an open letter on Twitter referring to the BuzzFeed investigation as an inaccurate, agenda-driven version of the past pierced with falsehoods. Oh, boy, that's a powerful statement. His lawyers also disputed the story. I love when lawyers dispute it. Yeah, they know. They know. No, they're paid by Tony Robbins, so they're his advocates.
Yeah, so what does it matter what they say?
Telling BuzzFeed he absolutely denies each of the allegations, specifically denies he engaged in any of the alleged conduct, who never filed any type of verbal or written complaint with his company. In a YouTube video posted Wednesday, Robbins accused BuzzFeed of flat-out lying. He added he was a better human being than I was in my 20s and 30s. What does that mean? I'm not perfect. I never claimed to be. I'm perfectly committed to growing. apologizing for anything I've ever said or done that offended or hurt anyone.
But I did. I mean, sorry.
I think that the statement would be more inspirational than that.
The four women include Kimberly Stokes, a live-in personal assistant who started working for Robbins in 1988. She says Robbins walked into her bathroom while she was showering and dropped his towel, exposing himself.
Uh-oh.
She'd already rebuffed his advances once before. He really thinks he likes the nude move.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nude move comes up a lot with him. A number of women said they were working with him at his home or something, and he just walks nude into the shower or, you know, just walks up nude. What's my schedule today?
All 6 foot seven.
Stroking
of them.
His dick.
How intimidating.
Well, that was the Charlie Rose move, too.
Yeah,
he liked
it was
the
big
nude move.
Charlie, yeah. Showered in front of his interns.
Oh,
swam
man.
Nude. I hope you don't mind I swim nude.
I'm 108 years old. It's just how we used to do it.
Answers the door with his robe, you know, and then, of course, when
flapping
they come
open.
Inside, it opens up.
Wait, that's the Seagal. That was Steven Seagal's big move, too.
Well, Rose.
The open
Rose
robe.
Liked it. Rosie liked it.
You maybe know how you go to somebody's Rosie. Twitter page and you like to see how many people that you know follow that person? How many of your friends?
Oh, wow. Great question.
How many do you think would follow Tony Robbins of your Twitter friends?
That's a great question. I want to say nobody,
10.
But I'll guess a couple.
14.
What? Who are they?
Oh, wow.
Lenny Dykstra. Buzz Williams.
Buzz Williams.
Buzz.
Hank Winchester.
Hank.
Page Six. Aaron Cummings. Amy Andrews.
Me.
Dan Miller. Huel Perkins. The Beatles.
Wait,
the Beatles do not. They don't control that.
They follow
some,
them. The
that's
Beatles.
Some schlub.
Mona Tullitoon.
Paul clicked the button. Variety, Larry King, Ann Carlini, Mojo, and Jake Tapper.
Mojo? Of course, King's following him.
Unfollow him, Mojo.
Do we have any other numbers to ask him to unfollow? Just call him up.
Hank.
Yeah, we can call Hank and ask
Lenny.
Him. Lenny.
Sophia Koika said Robbins pulled her hand under his crotch to feel his penis.
Ugh.
Dipped her breast at a Hawaii self-help seminar.
With those big paws of his.
It freaked me out. I tried to pull my hand away as fast as I could, but he had a grip on my hand so tight and he wouldn't let go.
Only thing bigger than his hands is his teeth.
He's got a massive skull.
Yeah, he's got that's gigantism, doesn't he?
It oh, does? Is
yeah,
that
his
for
features
real?
Are huge.
Well, I mean, the people who are like that have those giant features, right?
I mean, maybe he has. Maybe he does have something.
Yes, I think.
Mary Lance claimed Robin sexually harassed her at an event in Ohio around 1990, saying, "Will you come and sit in the front row of my seminar every time? Because you're driving me crazy." So BuzzFeed, she remembered Robin's pulling her toward him in a hug, kissing her on the cheek, and wrapping his arm around her so that he was cupping the side of her breast in front of thousands of people.
Oh, God.
Lucy Galvez said Robbins asked her sexually inappropriate questions during an interview for a personal assistant job in 2001. He asked, "How do you feel about nudity?" And I thought, okay, this is taking an odd turn.
How do you answer that? I'm curious because I want to be able to make quick comebacks to
I would say
weird questions like that.
With complete strangers, I'm 100% against it. With people I'm not married to, I'm not crazy about it. A statement released Thursday from Robin's spokesperson, Jennifer Connelly. Oh, Jennifer Connelly's now a spokesperson?
Yeah. The actress?
I haven't seen her many movies lately, so maybe that's what she's doing. Tony Robbins has never behaved in the reckless and malicious manner suggested by the false and unfounded allegations published. Oh, yeah, it's all BuzzFeed.
She would know.
Well, then, if they're so sure of this, why are they running around threatening everyone? You know, they were threatening people, saying, "Your life will change in the next 48 hours.
For the better?"
Go through with this.
He had a pituitary tumor.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
why he grew so gigantic.
Yeah, that's kind of a spooky.
Oh, here's his response
disorder.
From Inside Edition today. That's after the John Cusack everyone gets mad at John Cusack story.
John Cusack's the one that's mad.
Yeah, he is.
Oh my God, he's such a hothead.
Shut up, Cusack.
For the record, the Cubs beat the Phillies 8-4. Motivation
record.
Guru Tony Robbins is responding to allegations of sexual misconduct. He denies ever doing anything untoward, but at the same time, he is also issuing an apology.
What?
Self-help
mogul
Tony Robbins is launching a counterattack against allegations of sexual misconduct.
It's just absurd. This has got to stop. And I hope maybe in my situation and fighting back a little bit will stimulate some of you to do the same.
He recorded this video
always calling on his fans.
Seminar in Australia. He sounds hoarse and looks gaunt.
If there's anything I've ever said or ever done that sincerely that offended anybody or anybody's feelings or they felt anything of that nature or just didn't support you, I apologize. It's certainly not my intent. Anybody
today, the website BuzzFeed News published more allegations quoting four women who claim Robbins groped them, exposed himself, or made unwanted advances. Among them is his former personal assistant, Kimberly Stokes.
What happened that day with you and Tony Robbins?
Went into my shower to get ready for the day. I pulled the shower curtain back after I was done showering. And obviously I'm naked. And there's Tony standing, just standing in a towel in my bathroom. Whoa. And as I pulled the shower curtain back, he drops his towel. And the first thing that hit me was panic.
BuzzFeed previously published a secret recording in which Robbins appears to berate a victim of domestic violence at his seminar.
What role did you play? Has he loved you? Has he looked out for you? Has he put up with you when you've been a crazy I know by your body that you're lying.
Whoa. He says he was not being abusive.
She told him point blank, he didn't abuse me. It was tough love and it may have been difficult, but it changed my life.
The
video they keep showing him is so stupid.
Ugh.
He claps weird.
He's a weird clapper.
He claps like Brendan Fraser.
All the people that fall for this.
Like he's swatting flies.
It's fun to clap like Brendan Fraser.
Why do people fall for these self-help people?
I don't know.
I mean, this guy charges so much money for these stupid seminars.
People are looking for some help, apparently.
It looks convincing.
They don't get anywhere else. I don't know. I don't get it.
Did you watch it All in the Family?
I didn't. I saw a little bit of it. They were showing highlights of the previous show, but I didn't see the reenactment.
Oh. It was good.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was a lot better than I thought it would be. The Jeffersons was way better than All in the Family, I thought.
Really? Huh. I didn't see either. Well, I watched the Jeffersons with you. Yeah.
Jamie Foxx was great.
Edith. Yeah. Marissa Tomei is hot. Edith was not really hot. But she did a really good job playing her.
Did she?
Jamie Foxx was terrible.
He was playing terrible.
George Jefferson. He's too tall for George Jefferson.
He's too tall. It did bother me a bit.
Yeah, he is.
And he also messed up when he was in All in the Family.
Yeah, but he covered it.
Sort of. Dumb. It was actually entertaining.
They said Woody Harrelson's accent was not very great.
But it was okay. I don't know.
That would have bothered me. I would have been thinking about that and not watching.
Yeah, that's a hard... And her, too.
She was great.
Edith would be really hard to
do. She was great, though.
Was she good?
Yeah. Sean Hayes was really good, too. I don't even know who the hell he was playing, but...
Meathead?
No, Meathead was Ike Barinholtz, who looked like... He looked like Mike... Is it Mike Reiner? What's his name?
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Mike Reiner.
Hey, I got three cameos for you, Drew.
Oh, cameos.
Yeah, because
excited.
I've been looking and looking and looking and looking, and there's really no new famous people that I know. But I do know three of them today, so I just wanted to give you a couple and see if you knew how much they charge.
Why does he need a cameo?
What's up, KO? How you doing? Man, you have a good boyfriend. He has good taste.
Marlon Wayans.
Naked's a good movie. Wait till you see my next one. Sextuplets comes out in August on Netflix. It's amazing. I play seven characters. I'm looking forward to one day when I come to
Who
Japan.
Who the hell are
I've been
you, anyway?
Twice. Arigato. My kids are actually quarter dressed.
Marlon Wayans is charging $350.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money. Whoa. But basically,
$350 so he can plug his new movie to you.
check this one out here.
It's kind of brilliant.
What's going down?
What?
This is Rick Mahorn. Hit me on Cameo if you need me to give you a shout out. Come on now, Bad Boy for Life.
I might.
What a cool dude.
Rick Mahorn, Ricky. $44.
44?
That's his number.
That's his number, yeah.
Makes awesome. Sense.
Yeah, and then finally, here's one for you.
Whoa.
Everyone, Chris Hansen here, and I'm so excited to be on Cameo.
Yeah, because you're broke.
Have you ever wanted me to tell a friend or loved one to have a seat?
No.
Or perhaps I've got the transcripts right here, or maybe, I've heard that once before. Now you can do it here
that
on Cameo.
Why would I want to tell someone I have the transcripts right here?
And to continue
that didn't make a lot of sense, did it?
A very worthwhile cause. So check it out.
Worthwhile cause?
Wait, the cause?
Yeah.
That would be...
refilling his bank
helping
account.
You get out of bankruptcy?
That's a worthwhile cause.
$200.
What? Has he sold any?
Oh, come on.
No, he's brand new.
He's too high.
Brand new.
Yeah, I agree. He's
he
not
needs
sell
to
money.
Draw out his words a little more, too, if he's going to make that more effective.
Yeah, just like he used to.
If I could...
I can't get over it. How far he fell.
Yeah. Well, money.
Are people calling him a has-been on Buzzboard?
Washed up. Washed up has-been.
Did you guys talk about the Verve? I see that it's
What happened
there.
With the Verve?
Oh, big story.
What?
Yep. Big story about this song.
I don't know why they did this, though.
Because their manager was being the dick about it. And
whose manager? Verve or Stones?
Stones. And so they, Mick and Keith.
But I hear it big time.
Right, but they're just like, here, song? You can have your proceeds. Go ahead, Richard Ashcroft.
Huh.
Nice.
The song was listed as Richard Ashcroft, Jagger Richards, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes.
For a long time?
Yes.
Yeah, the royalties went to Richards and Jagger. Not anymore.
Bittersweet Symphony famously samples an orchestral cover of the Rolling Stones 65 hit the last time. The portion sample was written by arranger David Whitaker. It is not part of the Stones' original song, but while the Verve cleared the rights to sample the orchestral recording, they did not get the publishing rights from the Stones. Oh, Alan Klein, the asshole who helped break up the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
was the Stones' manager, whose company Abco Records owned the copyright to the last time, subsequently sued frontman Richard Ashcroft, resulting in Jagger and Richards receiving songwriting credit and 100% of the songwriting royalties from Bittersweet Symphony. Now, Jagger and Richards have agreed to unconditionally give their songwriting credits and publishing rights for Bittersweet Symphony to Ashcroft. Well, that keeps it out of Alan Klein's estate entirely, I guess? Because I know they hate Alan Klein.
Yeah.
Wait, is it claw back all of the royalties he missed out on, or does he now just get his royal?
I don't know.
I think he now gets it for the first time after 20 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
20? Here's the song that
great song.
Is the sample of the last time. I mean, it's the same song. I mean, it sounds just like it.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to go back to John Cusack on the Inside Edition story. He was pictured sitting down during a tribute to the troops at a Cubs game. And he, of course, he's so
angry. Why is
angry.
He so mad about it?
He's angry about everything.
He's mad at something he did.
If
he should be mad at himself.
He claims that he stood up, just not fast enough. And he said something like, you know.
No. There's no way that's true.
No, he's looks like he's very seated, like he's not even close to getting up, and everyone else is standing up around him.
And the time as he's standing up, someone went, hey, John Cusack's sitting down during this. Let me get my phone out, unlock it, open
pretty
up
much.
The camera, and
He says MAGA fucks took the picture. He blames it on
MAGA. Well, there's a lot of MAGA country
says
over
he stood
there.
Up, just not fast enough to suit
How
some
stupid.
People. Now he's being accused of
and
disrespecting our nation's
one,
military.
He's the only one sitting.
Actor John Cusack is fighting back after being accused of not standing during a military salute
he
at a baseball
not
game.
Standing,
this
and
photo
he's not
was
about
snapped
to stand.
Of the 52-year-old actor in the stands at Chicago's Wrigley Field during a Cubs game last night. Everyone around him stands. Cusack remains seated. Reaction online has been fierce. Not standing for a military salute is dishonoring those who have and still fight for your freedom, goes one tweet. But Cusack is firing back, denying he was being disrespectful. I stood up, just not on cue, like an obedient pet.
Hey, don't knock my
pets.
The
fourth inning incident took place during a salute to the military sponsored by the aircraft giant Boeing. Cusack, best known for movies like Say Anything, says, I didn't stand up for Boeing military salute fast enough for some MAGA blank. Cusack is a Chicago native and a regular at Cubs games.
Take me out to the ball game.
Is that the end of the story?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Unless you want to know the Cubs one.
Yeah, he ripped Boeing for advertising on the scoreboard during the tribute to veterans. Boeing has a deal with the Cubs.
Yes.
They pay for the military tribute, which I think replaces an advertisement, maybe. Is that, do they keep it at the park during the salute, maybe, in lieu of going to a commercial?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I got a question for you real quick. I hate to interject, but I'm on his Twitter right now. I just want you to guess How many times has John Cusack either tweeted today or retweeted something?
I'm going to guess 25 times.
Mark, do you have a guess?
I was just going through his Twitter.
I counted. So, yeah. I counted each one. And this is just for today.
Let me just give you an idea, Drew. There's a Julian Assange story. He's been charged.
Yeah,
so.
he visited Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even know that. Why is John Cusack so wigged out about all this stuff?
I don't know.
47 tweets today.
About?
Since.
He needs a hobby.
Since midnight last night.
Do you want to know what his worst tweet of the day was? He retweeted this video of an 8-year-old playing, Good Times, Bad Times.
What instrument?
Drums.
Oh, God.
Actually, I'm glad he did. This kid rocks.
This kid was on Ellen and did the Foo Fighters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This kid's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
I'm going to start following Cusack for more cool things.
Oh, it's a chick. No wonder.
That's a girl.
It's a girl?
9-year-old.
How do you know it was a girl?
Story's old.
Oh, really?
And she's wearing
a little late
yellow.
To the party, Cusack.
I'm going to tweet back at Cusack. That's an old story.
Catch up.
I'm just going to write old news.
How many anti-Trump tweets does he have today? Probably half of them, I bet.
Well, specifying on Trump, I don't know. I haven't seen too many, but most of them are political. I'd say 95% of them are.
Yeah, he's an angry...
Oh, here's some Trump ones.
Angry guy.
He's...
I know I read about, was it Chelios, I believe, that lives... Chelios, I think, lives near Cusack, and Chelios was hanging with Kid Rock and some other people, and Cusack, apparently, upon meeting Kid Rock, hated him, because Kid Rock is not liberal,
mm-hmm.
And I guess over time he decided he's okay, but he was very disgusted by Kid Rock when he first met him.
Kind of unfortunate because Kid Rock is pretty mellow when he's
absolutely.
Not on.
Absolutely. No, he's extremely mellow. Kid Rock is a pretty fun guy, it seems. And I wonder, did Chelios tell me that story? Or did I read that somewhere? I can't remember.
Didn't they waterboard? Not waterboard.
They did the paddleboard.
Paddleboard to Belle Isle. Yeah. Across the river, him and Chelios.
And Lidstrom or something?
Yeah, I remember that.
That sounds like fun.
Sounds hard.
It does sound
really
hard.
I'll take a boat.
Yes. Much better.
I couldn't be able to stay up for 2 seconds.
But I thought it was funny that, you know, Cusack gets busted for sitting during the tribute and then... He, of course, says,
snaps,
I was about to stand up. And then he goes, and Boeing, what are they advertising during a military tribute on the scoreboard?
Well, why don't you buy the advertising and then don't put your name on it?
Well, I think the fact that he's really not going to much effort to stand up, probably not the best time to be calling out Boeing.
It's so stupid.
By the way,
he should be calling out the Cubs. The Cubs have the deal with Boeing. Yeah. It's not Boeing's fault.
He knows how that works. He had to know that was a sponsorship.
Why is he so worried? What's his problem with Julian Assange? Or he's a fan of Julian Assange.
Well, let me go back to his Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Maybe. Do you think he tweeted anything new while I was gone?
What was his last movie?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't seen many.
His last good movie was Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, that's right.
And he didn't even do the sequel, I don't think.
His most recent retweet says, Assange's motives or membership in an undefinable journalist club are irrelevant to the very dangerous step that the Trump Department of Justice took today. We'll now find out whether publishing information, as well as seeking and obtaining it, may constitutionally be charged as espionage. I don't think Assange is being charged. Well, I don't know. I didn't read the story today, but he wasn't being charged with publishing it. It was conspiracy.
They may bring the sexual assault charges back against him, by the way. Fight that, Cusack.
I have 23 followers that people I know that follow John Cusack.
Really?
Oh.
You know, I followed him because I see people like John Cusack on Twitter. And I go, oh, I love John Cusack. I'll follow him. And it was kind of like Frampton. The next thing you know, it's like, Trump sucks. I hate Trump. Trump did this. Trump did that. And I'm like, okay, I don't need this in my Twitter stream. I know what Trump's doing.
Bette Midler ever? I don't know how I stumbled across Bette Midler.
No,
oh my
she's
god,
she's the same way.
Oh my god,
I know. No, Alyssa Milano, Bette Midler,
George Takei.
Yeah, George Takei is nonstop.
Pee Wee Herman follows John Cusack.
Does really? He? Well, I love John Cusack. I'm a big fan of John Cusack.
Well,
I just don't really want to follow him on Twitter. That's all. And it's sort of, I don't know, I'm always surprised. I'm surprised at some of these people who are so mad so often.
I know. Like that guy we talked to on the phone.
Hey, I was watching the Today Show this morning.
Yeah.
And, they were talking about the floods and stuff, and they were talking to one guy who was supposed to be staying. He was like, "I'm staying behind." And they're like, "Well, if you're staying behind, you have to write your name on yourself so we know who that you are if you're, you know,
oh,
turn up
yeah,
dead, if you're
dead.
A floater."
Right.
That's fine.
So they went to him and they're like, "Why are you staying?" And he goes, "Well, I'm going to go now because I can't fight the mean water." It's like
tremendous amounts of water.
Serious issue, shallow thought. I thought that was a really funny comment about mean water.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
That water is so nasty, too. It's like the brownest color.
Ugh. What's going on this weekend? Anything special going on?
Eh. Memorial Day.
I mean, yeah.
Probably some good NBA that. Playoff games, I'm sure. Rocket Man is number one in the UK, by the way, the movie. The Elton John biopic.
A lot of people probably going away, though, for Memorial Day.
Yeah, a lot of campers.
Boring.
What?
Can you camp with your phone, by the way?
Yeah, of course you can.
That's bullshit.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
Does that defeat the purpose of going camping?
Yeah, it does.
No.
My family's always outside. Been big campers. We started out in tents, and now everybody just has their own, like, you know, campers, RVs. So it's not really hard living.
Was it like the RV
really
in
nice.
Tampa?
If you're sitting there looking at your phone all day, that's not really camping
You can
either.
Do that inside in your house.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to do
Enjoy
that because it's hard to charge it, but, you know, having it is maybe
a good
thing.
We have a mobile charger.
True. What if you get lost in the woods or
Imagine
something?
Imagine teenagers camping now. There's no way.
No.
There's
I
no
can't see
way.
It. I don't know. Did you see John Travolta said Pitbull encouraged him to go bald?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
could Pitbull
look.
Encourage him to leave his cult, too?
No, next
He's
thing
taking
you know,
advice from Pitbull?
Pitbull will be a Scientologist, next thing you know.
What? That's the recruiting method?
I could see it, yeah.
What, get a haircut like the person you're trying to recruit?
Hey, Brandon, our stopwatch stopped.
Oh.
At 1:55:51, are we still recording?
Oh, of course we are. We're at a little over 2 hours
8 hours.
Now.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to mention the best of. We have a couple best ofs over the Memorial Day weekend. And... there's a new No Filter Sports?
Yes.
How'd it go this morning?
It went great. Talking a lot about, you know, obviously Juwan Howard is a big story right now because of U of M. There was some odd WNBA talk, but I think you'll find it pretty comical.
I honestly wanted to barf at that WNBA story on Outside the Lines today because this goes on. Yeah, the big stars like... Jenny Washington. And I'm like, who? I mean, honestly, I've never heard of any of these. Not one person's name did I recognize.
So then the idea of pay came up.
And that, yeah, the pay, what do they call it? The pay?
Wage
pay
gap.
The wage gap. The wage gap, you're a charity league. That's why there's a wage gap. You don't even support yourself. If you didn't have NBA money, you wouldn't make any money.
Yeah, no, she was talking about a better revenue split. It's like, there is no revenue.
Yeah, there's no revenue.
What
are you talking about? Yeah.
She's like,
you mean a better charity split.
And she said, some of these poor women have to go overseas and play in a league there, and they're making like $1 million. It's like, well, first off, they're not that poor. Then, and secondly, why don't they just stay there and play?
I don't understand it. If
by the
way,
pay in the more lucrative league.
That's the other thing I don't understand. Why do they pay him a lot of money to play in Europe? Do people in Europe go to WNBA?
I guess they do. Much,
well, okay.
People in Europe are so opposite of us.
In many ways.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Do women make as much as men over there? Is there a wage parity effort in Europe for some reason?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Boy, would that be stupid. But oh well.
I know. So the one girl at one time she did say, "Well, you know, they gotta get any more people to the games."
Yeah.
She had a very measured response.
No, you have to support
it's
yourself.
Pretty simple.
You can't have a charity league and expect to make as much as the league that makes billions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's not equality.
I wonder when the guy who is supposed to be in the NBA G League just goes, "You know what? I'm just gonna go to WNBA and dominate."
Well, that'd be the best way to improve the quality of play.
Hey, what happens when the first trans female wants to go over and play the WNBA? What are they?
Oh, gonna... some 7 foot dude becomes a chick or feels like a chick.
Trans.
That would be
why
cool.
Why not a guy in general? Why can't a guy go play in that league? Because you know, if a woman was good enough to play in the NBA, they would.
Well, why can't a guy play in the WNBA?
That's,
why couldn't
that's
they?
That's kind of my point.
I don't know, there's dudes that are dominating.
Maybe they can.
Female high school sports. So I'm sorry.
Wait, what sports?
Oh, come on. There's a million stories of those all the time.
Well, I remember the field hockey, the two field hockey guys who were pretty hilarious.
There's the track ones where every major track record, state record.
Oh, those are
broken.
Trans. Those are trans people.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Got it. I thought you meant dudes that were actually
crossing
playing
over.
As dudes.
I wonder what would happen if a guy challenged the WNBA to play.
Do it, Mark.
I don't know why they couldn't. Why couldn't
they
play?
Those girls would destroy me.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
Come on.
That's the thing, you know.
That'd be silly.
The women who are getting scholarships and are playing college basketball and, you know, they work their ass off, they just, it's not the same.
Yeah,
guys are bigger, taller, faster.
They dunk.
But the ones that work hard muscle. And earn scholarships, you see it all over the place. There are
what'd
women who bust their ass.
More muscle on average because there's more women have.
You sound like Donald Sterling when he
walked
into his
out.
Locker room and he went, look at all these big muscles. I actually said, look at all these black guys with all these muscles.
There's a tendency to have more fat because there's that's involved
yes,
in the process.
Yeah.
Of
there's no African American. Never mind.
Remember when the locker room was sort of feeling their muscles? How weird.
Oh, very strange.
Fascinating individual.
Calm, that's what every transaction should be, and hopefully that's what happens when you work with Scott Kunath, the realtor who worked for many, many years with us at WRIF and then went into real estate 3 years ago and was named the rising star of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manuel, one of the big firms around here, too. Scott is one of our sponsors, our only real estate sponsor, so we're hoping that you'll give Scott a shot if you are looking to find out what your home is worth or if you want help in finding a new one. And he's taken a lot of calls from people about a lot of different things, and he doesn't mind a bit. In fact, you can text him or call him at 248-797-7746. If you have a real estate question, or if you're interested in doing something serious like listing your home, or you want to find a new home, or you want to refer someone, either way, he's happy to talk to you. Scott's a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. 248-797-7746, or email Scott Kunath at skunnath@cbwm.com. And Scott will bring you the best of, actually two best ofs this weekend on the Drew and Mike program. Then there's the Hall Financial Hotline shutting down. Click the link to Hall Financial on our website or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000 if you are interested in a refi, if you're interested in saving money. If you're not, don't call them. So you want to get us out of here, Brandon?
Hey, I have a new Lonely Island song.
Yeah?
Oh, really? Yeah, they're going on tour.
Yeah, it's about the Bash Brothers, Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire. I've never heard it, we'll play this after the outro, and hopefully it sounds good on the air. I know it's going to be great to watch, but hopefully it translates to the podcast audience.
Okay. Anything else from the weekend worth mentioning?
No.
I don't know,
what are you doing?
I don't know. It's weird. Once you're a network executive, your time is not your own. You wouldn't believe all the stupid little things I get mixed up in with these three other shows. Charlie's going to be here tomorrow recording at noon, so there'll be a no bullshit news on Sunday. People have plenty of weekend time to listen to it. The Soul of Detroit was here last night till 10:30 or 11 or something.
Yeah, I got home at 11. And then Charlotte woke up 15 minutes after I got home, and and then we were off to the races.
Ugh.
Yeah, a bit of a last. She does not sleep.
I will mention again that the bit with Mike Clark and myself from, I think it's 2011 or so, where we call the grandma whose phone number is on the Justin Bieber tweet, and we start playing the Justin Bieber drops so Bieber can sort of, you know, apologize. I thought it was really funny, and it will be on the best of this weekend, so give it a listen. And there is new material. There is our intro is all brand new. So please enjoy the best of Drew and Mike this weekend, brought to you by Scott Kunath, that great realtor.
How about Tuesday at 3 p.m.?
Tuesday works for me. Ugh.
I can't wait for this project to be over.
Tell me about it. I need to close 3 accounts by Friday.
I've got a Bible of market research to get through. I mean, what is this, War and Peace?
Sounds like you ladies could use a night off.
Excuse me?
I said, sounds like you ladies could use a night off. Maybe you should let us help you relax.
No thanks. We don't date ball players.
What? You think we're not sophisticated?
We don't think it. We know it.
Well, if you ask me, you shouldn't judge a book.
By its cover. There it is. Okay.
Come with us. We'll show you.
Step into my crib, everything smell like cool water.
And if you're coming to mine, you know it's Drakkar Noir.
Now have a seat on this couch made of horse leather.
I'm told the horse that it's from could run fast and far.
Ooh, that shit is sexy. Tell the maitre d' at your booty to expect me.
I'm solo and I'm flexing, but don't try to solo flex me.
Nordic track all day.
Squats in the living room, can I get a witness? The greatest aphrodisiac is physical fitness.
So take off your gas and let go your stress.
Cause the classiest shit is what comes next.
Silkworms and kimonos. Silkworms and kimonos.
I make erotic shadow puppets in the candlelight.
Your hair's crimped, all frizzy cause you're frivolous.
I feel like Macho Man and you my Miss Elizabeth.
Sizzle-ish, do some crunches and some scissor kicks. Body shape slick like an exquisite
and
fish.
And I love the way a hot cut phone make your butt long. Now take them off, but you know what to leave on.
Silk rolls and kimonos. Silk rolls and kimonos. Peel out your pleated polo. She's athletic days, but all those silk rolls and kimonos. A pound of taiko drum in your dojo. He's embedded blazers, filing papers, no more. It's time for
all nice.
And that's what it would be like.
Hard pass.
Thank you for your consideration.
Silk robes and kimonos. Silk robes and kimonos. I'm a pro when I'm bone, but I do it pro bono. You work hard day, so you deserve the
Oakland Knights.
We're the Oakland Knights of the round table. Plus, I'll take you out to pizza at the round table. Pizza, my favorite pizzeria in Oakland. But bring the change, cause you can't wear your silk robin.
This was fun. Well, right on.
So, can I call you?
I told you, we don't date ball players.
You guys really need to get rid of all of this fake Asian shit.
It's tacky.
But I got it from Steven Seagal's interior designer.
Will we ever find love?